Good friend Hollis with Too Little Too Late. There's more songs. They just keep playing. Listen, Hollis, you only get one, all right? Let's not get crazy. Let me see. Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron. www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, The Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook. You can like us there. We have a very special couple guests today, actually. I have a special co-host, but our guest today, of course, is Christopher Titus. Titus was a TV show on Fox years ago, 6-7 years ago, critically acclaimed, brutally honest, really funny. Then he went on to do Big Shots. Was it Big Shots, Ken? With Josh Molina and Dylan McDermott. Yeah, and that was on ABC until the writer's strike, and then it got pulled because of that, I believe. And Titus has a DVD compilation coming out of his best stand-up, and he has his podcast, and we're gonna talk all about that when Chris is on in a little bit. But my co-host is...
Hollis!
I'm
so excited!
I like how you just screamed that. Hollis!
I was not too loud. I'm sorry, folks.
I got to figure out which mic's yours, though, so I can turn it up.
All right.
Oh, that's sexy. All right.
Yeah.
Talk for me, Hollis. Tell me something.
I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good. Okay. Here is my first question for you, Hollis. And by the way, That was really good. Too Little, Too Late. That's good.
Thank you so much.
That's
thank
good.
You.
Now, that's some demo songs you've been working on, or what?
Yeah, yeah. That's all, you know, it's pretty raw, bare bones, just me and the piano. You know, it's in its early stages.
Do you want people to go listen to those songs? Can
yeah.
we tell them to go to Hollis Space J at SoundCloud?
Sure,
you go to
sure.
SoundCloud and you just search Hollis Slash J, or is it Space? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's
is it space?
SoundCloud.com. Just go to SoundCloud.com and then they search Hollis.
My British like mistress. But continue.
I thought you were commenting on the lack of tea.
So you were using Smooth Move.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if people don't know what we're talking about,
what's the diet plan? Explain it to me.
It's called the Master Cleanse, and it's you know it's
so you're doing the paprika and the water and isn't it like salt water
it's
or something
well, it's
weird?
Cayenne pepper. It's
cayenne
three
pepper.
Basic ingredients.
Yeah, whatever.
Cayenne
lemon
pepper,
juice.
Lemon juice and
syrup.
And syrup.
Okay.
And
maple
you,
syrup,
you mix
right?
It together, yeah. It's a special grade B syrup, and you mix it together. You know, some people are like, "Oh, wow, you're crazy. That's not
right.
good for you."
And
that's
how many days do you do it for?
You know, you're supposed to do the minimum of 10 days.
And how many times a day?
I mean, you could drink as much lemonade as you want when you get hungry.
Lemonade?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's actually not so bad.
Wait,
but
wait, it's not lemonade. Kim said, "It's not lemonade. It's syrup and lemon juice." Oh, you could drink that concoction as much as you want.
Yes, yes. And it's actually not bad. You could make it to taste like
it
lemonade.
It sounds like it could be dangerous if you drink too much.
No, you know, it's actually not too bad, but you do get sick of it after a while.
I think you'd get sick of it right away.
Yeah.
That's my
because
opinion.
Because you're hungry and you're cranky and you're angry.
Well, here's the thing. You two are like smiling and giggling.
Yeah, well, no,
and
we got through the hump. There's a 3-day hump. Once you pass the third day,
you went
third
to a buffet
day,
today?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're still on it.
Oh. Still?
Once you pass the third or fourth day, you would be amazed. It really is more of you know, people might say, oh, you know, physical, you shouldn't do that to your body. But it is, you know, there are people who've done it for a long time, and it is really more of a mental challenge. And it's preparing, it's kind of restarting your system if you ate a lot of junk food and, you know, boozed a lot and you want to cleanse. It's not dangerous. People think, oh, I can't skip a meal, I'm going to die. It's not true.
Okay.
I mean, I've gone almost 10 days with no food, and I feel fine.
And
I mean,
guys
you know,
do this too, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say, girls got it easier than guys, right?
You know, it has benefit. Like, people are like, your skin looks great. You know, you're just flushing toxins out of your
body. You do look great.
Thank you. I mean,
both of you look phenomenal.
I wouldn't say it's easy. It's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life.
Well, you both look great.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this. I was getting into an argument today with this lady who I will not name. And we were fighting over who has it easier, boys or girls. If you think every girl says boys and every boy says girls.
For sure.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I thought you'd agree with me.
Ladies, I'm sorry. We got all that extra work we got to deal with.
You guys really think you got it hard?
Very hard. I think so. Yeah.
Girls think they got
it
hard.
We do.
Why? What do you have so hard? Look how beautiful you are.
Well,
guys got to approach you all the time. You get more attention. So if you're talented, like your music, boom. Oh, well, she's hot. I'll listen to her music. And thank God,
right.
Good.
But there's also concept because you look good. The people think they're going to take advantage of. I'm going to sleep with her. I'm just going to use her to get like where I need to.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So
that's true. That's
it's
yeah,
22.
But you can easily say,
Oh, no, of course, but it's just, you know, sometimes it's, of course. I mean,
of
sometimes
course.
It's, oh, no, of course.
I mean, I wouldn't.
But sometimes it's,
I
no.
wouldn't.
Right.
If Diane Cannon wanted to sleep with me to get my show on the radio, I'd say, okay, Diane, if I must, Miss Cannon, I will sleep with you to get my show on your radio. And I love in this fictional world, Diane Cannon owns a radio station. I don't think that's plausible. I'm friends with Diane on Facebook. I could tell you something. She doesn't own anything but a dog. She
well,
doesn't own
I'm
her
sure
own thoughts, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I love her, though. Okay. She's hot. Have you ever seen Diane Cannon in person?
No,
like,
no,
in person?
No.
Oh, you got to go to a Laker game and see her.
Yeah.
For 60-something? Holy cow.
Wow. She probably has done the Master Cleanse a few times in her life, I'm
she
sure.
She lives on the Master
see?
Cleanse.
See?
That's her life.
Yeah.
should we bring on Titus now? He's here. Mr. Titus is here. I call him Titus. I don't know why. It's because his TV show is Titus.
Yeah.
But I don't Melanie, do you ever call him Christopher Titus, or do you just call him Titus? Oh, I always call him Titus, like he's one name. I don't know why I do that. I'm obsessed with that. I don't. Yeah, it's the coolest name ever.
I feel like you said it was like, is that your superhero name? Did you make that up?
I got to tell you, man, I don't even call you Christopher Titus. I call you Titus.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I have to explain, and they're like, oh, Christopher Titus.
Yeah,
and
they always
like, yeah.
What's your real name? Mervin Phelps. That's my name, Mervin. I'm Mervin Phelps. I had to change it. Mervin can't be that cool.
All right. I have got a million questions for you. I think your career is one of the... It's really awesome.
I thought you were going to say over.
No, it's not really over.
Thank God.
You know, we've had a lot of people on the show who know you, and like we hear all these great things about you. I wanted to get you on.
Really? I have to listen to your show more. Really?
Yeah.
If it's Josh, about me, I'm in.
Josh Molina's been on a few times.
Oh, he's
and
a
of course, of course, you know him from Big Shots. Shots, right?
One of the funniest people to be honest, no joking.
Yeah.
One of the funniest people I've ever worked with in my life. Molina, what happened when we started, the four of us, when we did Big Shots, started to piss off the production so much because the four of us, first of all, Dylan McDermott is just like this real kind of, he actually talks like this all the time. You know, like he wants to be Clint Eastwood so bad it oozes from him. And then Molina would just never let anybody, and Vartan has so many demons. Vartan's flying to Australia to do a poker tournament in 24 hours and flying back over the weekend. And Molina just kind of pointed out everybody's weakness and pain and just kept beating on it. So him and I started going at each other, and by the end of it, so it was like four douchebags just constantly being douchebag buddies, and the production would be like, guys, can you shut the fuck up, please, for a second? And can we shoot this? So it's all Molina's fault.
See, Hollis, did you ever see Big Shots?
No.
Okay, it was this show. It was like, I don't like the way they pitched it. Everyone pitched it as like Sex in the City for men, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was just men, you know, bachelor men hanging out, doing their thing. They're marketing execs. They're big corporate guys, you know.
Yeah.
It was a sweet show, but it was funny, too. But Josh Molina's on. Josh has been on the show a few times. Josh is like the master prankster, too. Was he pranking people, too?
He's a douchebag. Yeah. He's the whole reason the show got canceled. Let's just leave it at that.
It wasn't the writer's strike.
No,
it was Josh Molina.
Josh Molina got it canceled. The writer's strike was just a shitty excuse that we used because we didn't want to blame Josh totally. It was all Josh's fault. Josh has never made a show that lasted 5 years.
No.
Every show Josh been on, he got canceled. Just to be clear. Of course, neither have I. So between me and Josh, that show was doomed.
Right. Hollis, you're like kicking things. Are you okay?
Yeah,
is it the
so
master
excited.
Cleanse? You're so excited. I was just talking to Hollis because she's doing the master cleanse. You didn't get to hear her when you came in, but she's a great musician. Great musician.
Well, you're doing a cleanse?
Yeah,
she's doing a cleanse.
So you're not eating anything right now?
Not right now, but soon.
For how long are you
We're
eating?
On day
how,
nine.
Are you, how are you? Day nine?
Yeah.
Are you starting to like hallucinate now? And dragons?
Yeah,
like dragons and stuff.
It, yeah.
The sound is whoa.
Don't try this at home.
Wow. So yeah, she's doing this cleanse, and we were talking about that, and we were also talking about...
Well, have you heard of it? You must have.
I work out, but I will not stop taking my protein and my vegetables.
No, I know.
So now, explain to me what you're doing exactly.
It's just a master cleanse. You do the lemon cayenne, pepper diet, and you just drink that when you're hungry, and it's pretty much...
I love how you say that like people know. Yeah, you know, you do the lemon cayenne pepper diet.
We're in California, right? Doesn't everybody get this in third grade? Don't you get the lemon cayenne pepper cleanse diet in third grade? Yes, it's part of the curriculum in California.
I've explained it earlier. But, so it's pretty much, no, it's just like when you get a slump and you're drinking and eating a lot. See, I was partying way before, a lot before this. I was like, you know what?
Where are you now? Coachella?
Detox. It's like a mindset, you know, and then as soon as you're done, you're like, okay, healthy again. You don't want to ruin
healthy
all that.
Healthy again, now I can go party again. That's great. You know what I do is the Jamba Juice. You can eat the wheatgrass at the Jamba Juice.
Yeah.
I love Jamba
Holy crap. I don't love it. I hate it,
it
but it's like medicine.
Awful
it's
when
like
I
medicine.
Tried it.
I don't know I've
done the wheatgrass one. It tasted terrible.
Yeah, but if you read what it does, I bought the book. If you read what it does, you'll get through that. You'll be like,
I think
like,
Kim
really?
Had it once, and she was never the same, right?
What does the wheatgrass do? First
of all, get the book. There's a book that you can get at the Jamba Juice that says it's a wheatgrass book. And there's literally drawings.
It's a wheatgrass book?
There's a wheatgrass. Okay. It's literally like
I believe
200
you,
pages.
Actually.
There's testimonials of people that took it, and like they started juicing it like every day, and their cancer went away. The doctor's like, what did you do? And he said, I just got wheatgrass every day. In the book, though, there's these illustrations that should have been cleared by some sort, because at one, there's a woman naked, laying on her head's on the floor, her feet are up on a chair, and she's inserting a wheatgrass enema in her butt. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And if, but it's like, you could have just said that. You didn't have to make it.
Out like it's the Kama Sutra for
you. Yeah, it's wheatgrass Kama Sutra. And who's the guy that got that job? Hey, Phil, come here. We need you to illustrate. Here's, what do you want? A naked woman back. I'm in, dude. Okay, but she's doing a week. It's a healthy one. Then why are you showing her boobs so big?
I always was scared. Like, oh,
Phil's
got
to get something out of her.
Yeah, exactly. Phil's an artist.
Yeah,
he's got integrity.
An artist.
The worst place to ever have an earthquake. I always think about that. An earthquake is when you're like doing a colonic or MRI. Could you imagine?
Wow,
like,
that's what kind of subsection?
Would I want to be on a bridge or am I going to be in an elevator? No. Could you imagine being?
Is that really the first thing you thought of though, when an earthquake
on
comes?
On the phobia pie chart, that is a narrow sliver, man.
I hope I'm not getting an enema during an earthquake.
So you just rush them through it?
They're grossed out. They're like, what? No. I was just thinking.
Let me call Caltech and let me see what it looks like. No, we have no tremors. Go now.
But another Hollywood crazy.
Squeeze that bottle. Help.
To go get colonics and stuff. Could you imagine how if you were getting,
Yes,
let's not get too gruesome here.
I'm not trying to imagine it.
I love that now I have the phobia. Thank you. Can you imagine it? Yes, now. Yeah, now I'm scared. I am canceling my colonic.
I got to tell you, too, you got a podcast going. I want to get to that. But the first thing I want to talk about with you is Christopher Titus had this show that critics, and I know fans of sitcoms, were calling revolutionary, which was Titus. And it was such a great show. And obviously, it didn't go the distance as we would have all liked.
Well, I tell the story in the new special, what happened.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of the show.
In Nevolution.
No, there's the new show, Scarred for Life.
Scarred for Life?
The new stand-up special. The new show is about what happened was, one of the lines in the show is, I said one sentence one time that cost me $30 million. See, here's what kind of loser I am. I succeed, then I take it one step further to total utter failure. So we had this meeting with Fox, and what time was at Fox, they had four presidents in 3 years. And the presidents always come in and say, Titus, we love the show. It's perfect. Here's what we want to change. And they would sit down on the fourth president. This woman came in. And by the way, here's what I did. It's funny. I barely graduated high school. Here's what a loser I am. I succeeded to the point where my own show named after me. I wrote on it, helped create it, starred in it, and produced it, executive produced it. Okay, now let's go to total failure. I'm sitting, the president's right across me, comes with all her people, and then the studio comes with all their people, and there's all my people sitting here, and it felt like a rumble was going to happen. You know, it's like, na-na-na-na. And yet people are telling me, like, dude, you're the only one that thought a rumble was going to happen.
It was West Side Story in your head.
It was a creative meeting, that's all it was. But you thought a rumble was going to happen, you douchebag. So the president looks at me, and she goes, I want you to break up the main characters and have them cheat on each other. And here's a sentence that cost me $30 million. I look at the network president, the person that runs everything. Everyone else seemed to be aware of that, except for me.
Yeah.
And I said, do you even watch the show? Because let me explain to you how this works. Yeah, that's where I started.
You know what? I don't feel bad anymore.
No, I'm a
because
douche.
We were talking about, Caesar knows of this, my producer Caesar. We talked about what went wrong at my Comedy Central meeting I had a few months ago. And I basically said the same thing. And on top of saying, I don't watch your network.
That's how you open the meeting? What do you guys do exactly
in the first
on the
couple
comedy,
minutes?
This Comedy Central?
Didn't do your research.
I did my research. I go, I just don't watch. They're do you enjoy Workaholics? Gary Mann was like, do you like Workaholics? I'm like, never fucking heard of it. I never heard of it.
But
Titus, of course, is big on Comedy Central,
yeah.
Which I didn't know.
So here's the thing. So what happens is I tell the president, I go, listen, and by the way, I'm in front of 40 people who are all under this person who basically are, butt licking on this person for now. And I said, let me tell you what happens in this. I said, the whole show's about two screwed up people being together can survive anything. If I break them up and have them cheat on each other, guess what? Then they're just like every other scumbag in the world. Yeah. The audience is going to hate them. They're not going to laugh. And the show's over. So we're not doing it. And I knew when I finished, it was going to be like Gladiator. People are going to sit and go, yeah, Titus, you tell her. And it was dead silent. It was Hollywood. Everyone went for their water at the same time. These chairs are comfortable, aren't they? And the only sound I could hear was the thermostat lowering itself because it got really fucking cold really fast. And then a tumbleweed kind of rolled across the table. And the president goes, fine, do what you want. And it turns out if you tell your boss they're stupid long enough, they will fire you.
Yeah.
So what happened was the next week they stopped all promo because the ratings were too good. They couldn't kill it. So he stopped the promo. About a month later, the West Wing was number one because of 9/11.
Josh Moon.
God, can you imagine that, having an animal while 9/11 was going on?
Oh.
She's serious. She's like, no,
So the ratings went down. The audience found the ratings started coming back up again, and then they moved to like Sunday at 2:30.
Yeah.
And then the saddest moment was they called me. Here's what a douchebag loser I am. Because by the way, I had it locked.
Yeah.
Here's what an idiot I am. They had to tell me before midnight on a certain day they were going to cancel it. They called me at 11:52. You know, I pissed them off so bad. Someone stayed up late to make me feel like an ass. They're like, "Could you call Titus?" "Not yet. No, no, wait. He's still hoping."
I love this story, but it's like, all right, then how'd you get the fucking show? Got this great attitude where you're an honest dude, you're just honest.
Yeah,
what it is. Yeah, you no filter.
I don't
honesty.
Have a great attitude. It's just called a character flaw. But go ahead.
Well, I like saying it because I have it. And I like to
Good,
feel
like
better
it.
About myself.
Yeah, I sleep well. I sleep well.
Yeah.
I don't have money, but I sleep well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I don't have any money, so I'm sleeping even better than I guess. So you have this stand-up career. How do you? Okay. As a guy who did stand-up, I did stand-up for 7 years back in Chicago. I'm 28 now. Where were you at 28? How did you get your show? And how did that whole process go?
I did this thing called Landmark Forum, and I got really clear. I kind of cleared a lot of crap in my life that was holding me back.
Yeah.
And I realized that the problem I had for a long time was I was trying to be a comic. Like, I wanted to be a comic, and I want to be what everybody else does. I'll just do what everybody else does. And the problem is you're just everybody else, and there's none that stands out. So I was going to quit comedy. I was 12 years in. I was going, I'm going to be a welder. Fuck this. I don't need to do this anymore. I call it growing a tumor on my soul. Like, I'd be on stage, and you know, you'd be like, do a piece of material too long, and as your brain sees it coming in your repertoire, your brain starts to hate you and just starts going, don't say this crap again. Make some shit up. Speak another language, for God's sake, but don't say that again. So when I get to that piece of material, I was just going to puke it out, and I started to hate myself. I was going to quit. Took the forum. I got really clear that I can say what I want.
Yeah.
And I went through this kind of place where I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say exactly what I want. And if they don't like it, fuck it. I'm already going to be open a body shop anyway.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't work for 6 months, I'll just still open a body shop.
Yeah.
And I wrote the scariest night is I do for my acting class, a guy named Eric. I wrote this bit called "We Need Comedy to Get Rid of Our Desire to Kill." You know, everybody walks on stage. How you guys doing? You guys in a good mood? You know? I would walk on stage after I got this kind of insight, and I go, do you people even know why you're here? Is it because you like paying $4 for one beer? Is that why? No, we're here because comedy gets rid of our desire to kill. And it would go through this whole – it's basically the worst day. Because you didn't come after a good day when, you know, you made it to work on time.
Yeah,
it's like
Michael Douglas in Falling Down, and all of a sudden he's on a comedy stage.
That's the whole bit. So at the end of the bit, it's like 3 minutes long, I'm stabbing my boss in the chest. With a letter opener from his desk, because while he was about to fire me, he was ordering a new Mercedes SEL. So I'm stabbing it, I'm screaming, I just need a good laugh. So I do it the first night, knowing here's what I know is going to happen. I know the audience is going to boo me, and it's going to be over. I'm 3 minutes into my set. Audience goes batshit. They just like, yes. Well, here's the problem. That's the only bit I'd written, and I had to do 15 minutes. So the next, 10 minutes of my show was just me going, hey, do you ever go shopping? Hey, yeah, showers are weird. Mine has two settings, Arctic and lava. Anybody else? And the audience, and here's what I learned about comedy. If you, music, anything,
yeah.
If you give them the truth and then you try to lie to them, they hate you. They hate you. They're like, you suck it off. You were great up to when you started bullshitting us and now get off. And that's why... You know, that's why I we're doing a premiere tonight. There's a movie they did called Looking for Lenny, which I talked about, and they interviewed me about it. And it's like, and Carlin had it. Like, when you find, you really, to be a good comic, you really have to say, I don't really give a shit what they think.
Yeah.
You know, I walk on stage and I repeat this, but before I go on stage, fuck these people.
Yeah.
Which I love my audience, but honestly, before I walk on stage, fuck these people. Because if you worry about what they're going to think about what you say, you're done. You're
right.
Already, you're
that's
already,
how a lot of comics
that's
quit.
That's the same way in music, I think. Huh? You know, same thing in music.
Yeah.
You know, if you worry, oh, I have to create this for this audience, or this has to be a hit song, blah, blah, blah. It takes everything out of it, and people smell bullshit.
And
they know it's not right.
In a crazy way, acting, too.
Yes.
Because anytime I've done theater or I've done shorts, you know, you kind of can't give a fuck what people are going to think of your performance. You kind of just need to do your character.
You have to be and
just
do you.
Yeah, just do you.
But you
and
know when you feel
I think
stupid?
True.
Like, you ever be on stage and you're going, and you have to do something, and and you're like, oh, you're trying to hold them back because you don't want to look stupid?
Yeah. I do that all the time.
I guarantee you, if you're holding back, you're looking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you go so far beyond stupid, like there's times I'm on stage doing a character and I realize, wow, this is the stupidest I've ever acted in my life. Like, yeah. I'm so big right now. Like, if you put me in a small room, the walls would blow out. That's when it looks right on stage.
Yeah.
It's really weird, you know, when the characters are the biggest, that's when it's okay.
I
you
think
feel
the,
like an idiot.
The worst feeling, I don't know how it is in music college, but I don't know if you've even had a bad show.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The worst feeling in stand up.
Yeah.
The worst feeling in stand up is when, for me, when you're doing some material and it's like a long joke, it's like a 2-3 minute joke, and there's a bunch of punchlines in it, and you're carrying it on. And you just know it's not going to work from 15 seconds in. But you know you got to finish the fucking thing.
Right.
But your soul is slowly leaving your body.
Right.
You know, and you get slower and you get less energy and you start hating yourself on stage. And then usually at the end you're just like, into the mic, you're like, I want to fucking die.
Yeah.
You know what happened where you think though people hate it and then at the end they're like,
no, they think you're weird. They think you're weird. They're like, so he just told us this really lame joke and then said he wanted to kill himself.
I want to see you perform now, dude. I really want to.
Yeah.
My girlfriend does comedy too, Rachel Bradley. She's on the podcast with me.
And yeah, so, she is. Yeah.
So, by the way, she's really smart. She ran comedy clubs for a long time, and we started dating, and she would like give me jokes all the time. She'd be like, hey, try this. Hey, try that. And I'd be like, why don't you write some shit? Because I was really annoyed that you were giving me jokes. I got my own jokes.
I know. I love that.
Yeah, that's the ego of me. But that wasn't really why. I said, you should write some stuff. So she wrote this play called Pajamas and Other Things I'm at War With. And then but she goes, I'm going to rent a theater. I go, you don't even know if you're funny or not. What are you talking about? You're going to rent a theater. That's kind of crazy. Why don't you get on stage? And she wouldn't do it for 2 years. So I entered her in a comedy competition and then told her. I said, by the way, I've entered you in a comedy competition now. So she hates my guts. She had this bit about, and she still does it now, but it's about, she went to this Christian school where, and the premise is, the principal used to do assemblies nailed to a cross. So, and it's pretty fun. So here's what you're talking about. So the first night she does it, she's on stage, her arms are out. She's in the crucifix.
No.
She's doing the bit in the crucifix. And as the bit slowly starts dying, you see her arms slowly dropping, like the energy's leaving her body and she can't even hold her arms up. And by the end of the bit, she looks like she's reaching for the floor. And you go, so I know exactly what you mean.
We're such comedians are just such dark, depressing sometimes people.
Yeah.
That like I think if I now I don't know because I am a comedian, so when I watch them, it's a different thing for me. But as like a fan of comedy, I wonder if people are like watching us and they're like when they know we're like depressed or like we're sucking it up if they're finding that funny what are they thinking about us? I never know, they love
to see the pain. Like when I wrote Norman Rockwell, I mean it's same with music too. I mean it's weird, happy songs are very short-lived. I mean if you don't have
any happy
misery
songs.
Loves comedy. No, I know I got all these comments like wow you're really depressed. I was like someone they actually like can you please write some happy songs, what's gonna inspire you, like we need some upbeat songs. I'm like
oh this record
well,
company
how do I do it, like I'm broke, I have like 8 broken hearts,
how do I do that?
Well, you know, I'm like,
why don't you talk to my last 3 boyfriends,
right?
Misery
Loves Company, I guess.
I think it's
not easy to write sad songs.
It's also, you know, Pryor, if you look what Pryor talked about, man. I honestly believe, man, you have to be dark. Yeah, you don't have to be. If you're not, you have to be honest. And mostly the way the world works, you know, Love is Evil was about my divorce that cost me a crazy amount of money. She took my kids away, and I wrote a 90-minute, basically, terror rant about my ex-wife. And actually, I've made some of the money back from doing the show.
It's funny because in AA meetings every week I hear bits and pieces of that show. I'm like, yeah, bro, Titus did it already. And then I'm forgetting we're at AA and they're just bitching about their ex-wife taking their kid and shit. I'm like, yeah, Titus did that already, man.
Write
some new shit. Have a drink.
Get happy.
But that's what we do. That we, you know, and you don't, isn't this pond? Like, it's so glad that we've got this place with podcasts. We can.
Yeah.
Because I have to write a show, and I always try to write a I saw Lily Tomlin years ago do Signs of Intelligent
Life.
And I walked out wanting to quit comedy. I literally walked out of the show. At one point, Lily Tomlin's doing 4 characters having a conversation, and I didn't realize it. I was like, oh, that's Bob's talking to Phil now. And I'm like, then all of a sudden, I'm like, what the fuck? She's doing 4 characters, and I was like in the show, and I got up at the end, and I remember my manager time made me go see it by myself because I couldn't get anybody to go, I don't want to tell Lily Tomlin. I walked out going, wow, I should quit this job. and I should, yeah. I should gather trash for a living.
It's like when you watch even Albert Brooks tweet. You're like, I should quit.
Right, exactly.
I'm done. I'm signing. I can't even tweet right.
It's the
like,
best.
Like, Albert Brooks is here tweeting, and my stand-up is here.
Right, exactly.
What chance do I have?
The bit I've worked on 14 years, Shandling blew away with two sentences
I know.
On Twitter.
Those two are the best on Twitter, Shandling and Brooks.
Yeah.
You can't, like...
How many words is it you can do? There's only a few words.
140 characters.
Yeah.
And, like... They don't even use them all, and they sum it all up in like 20 characters, and it's the funniest thing you'll ever read. And then I hate them. I hate them. I'm like, I love them so much, and they're so good that I realize I'm never going to be that, and so I hate them a little. But I like them. They're
be
good
yourself,
dudes.
Matthew.
I know. Be myself.
You're
be average.
Yourself.
You could be them.
Yeah, make some make minimum wage,
no,
be average.
I don't know if I would ever want to... Okay, maybe you can give me all Albert Brooks funny, but I'd have to be Albert Brooks and the darkness that flips around in him and Shandling's head.
Oh, man.
Even for me, that's a scary place.
I mean...
I hate other people. I don't hate myself that much.
Watch Lost in America. I mean,
exactly.
This guy, he's got some psychoses going on. But I was going to ask you about the podcast thing, because I have a couple questions for you. All right. You're a big name in comedy. Big. Okay?
Okay.
Everyone
I'm
loves
doing
it.
A podcast in a hot dog place right
but,
now, but okay. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, right,
I'm
right,
monstrous.
Right. Well,
it's no ordinary hot dog place.
Exactly.
Do your research.
You're true. I know this place.
I'm
had
kidding.
To tell some people, I had to bribe your publicist to get you in here. I go, there's no way he'll ever do it. Maybe he saw Melina did it and he wants to be better than Josh.
There's magic in the
winner's hand. I do that. I have to follow Melina around on appearances just to fix the damage he's caused.
So my thing for you is like, all right, dude. You're a big deal. You had, I truly believe your sitcom was one of the best.
Thank you.
Like honestly, so maybe my opinion of you is a little heightened.
Right.
But why do a podcast instead of getting paid to do it on radio or Sirius or something like that?
Because then I have people coming in. Because right now, because here's what I love. And I was driving home with my girlfriend from Ontario. I love that. I love the noises right there.
I do too. Fire truck comes
I guess there
by.
Wasn't enough going on inside a 747 jet engine to do the podcast from there. So we'll just do it here. I love comedy. I really love comedy. I realized one day after the show got canceled that I'm a comedian. Like I really am. And Carlin put out like 21 albums and did 15 specials. And I remember thinking, your job is you do this. Since I was 5, I wanted to do it. So I already, when I get another TV show, when I get a movie, movies and TV have paid for my bills very short periods of time. Comedy has paid my bills for 25 years.
Right.
And I get to produce it, and no one comes in the middle of my set and goes, hey, can you change that?
Yeah.
Please change that. We don't really no. You know what? We have a pitch from the network, from the lawyers who have never performed before that are going to fix the show. and on a podcast –
you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, and every week now I get to talk about the world. Now, we don't do like a – we have a format. We do Armageddon Update.
Do that at the beginning.
And then for half an hour we beat on whatever the subject of the day is, and then we start doing news. But I just – it gives me this weird outlet to just be – it almost is a cancer cure for me. Because for an hour a day I get to spew about the world. And if you don't like it – tell me on Facebook and then fuck off. That's all I really care. And whereas you can't do that. If I'm working serious and they're paying me.
Sure.
And I know the rules. And now that I've screwed up my show and I get another shot, I'm going to sit there and go, that's a good idea. I like that idea. It's not bad. We're going to look at that, see if we can make that happen. All right. Now we're going to do it. We'll figure out what to do, what we want. But we're going to make them feel good about their stupid idea.
Yeah. That's
can we erase that part again? I can't let it go. I can't stop.
Well, neither can I. I'm only stopping because I'll get myself into trouble.
Yeah.
Trouble.
Don't you hate it when they tell you? I mean, when you know what you want to do. You've done the music. And then someone comes like, hey, can you fix this? Can you make this more upbeat?
Yeah.
And you're like, did you listen to the lyrics?
Right.
Did you read?
I don't write happy songs. I told you 80 times.
Now, what about doing something like, and by the way, Titus Podcast, you go to TitusPodcast.com and get all
the. Yeah, TitusPodcast.com.
And iTunes as well.
And do me a favor. Don't even listen to me. Go check the ratings on iTunes. Go check what people say and then go see it. I do that. Well, the internet is such a great thing now.
Yeah.
Because you can actually really quickly cut through the – it seems you can cut through the bullshit faster after you've cut through the
I haven't figured
bullshit.
Out how to do that yet.
Yeah.
I haven't figured out how to do that. I'm still having problems. Okay, because here's the thing. Like, and then, this is where my question comes from, because Marc Maron had two radio shows and a comedy career.
Right.
And now he's doing a podcast. You know, Kevin Smith made movies every year. Now he's doing a podcast. And it kind of seems like all these guys went, but you're still touring. You still work all the time. You got your DVD box set coming up. So my thing is, I started from nothing. And now I'm working towards that. So, you know, I kind of feel like all these guys, of course, because they paid their dues and they've had careers, they got a head start on me. So it's kind of hard for people. Sometimes I feel wade through the bullshit to get to us. So we've worked very hard to, like, get out there and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. Like stand-up. I thought I'd be leaving stand-up and improv to come do this, and then I'd be doing it for a bigger audience, which I am, a much bigger audience.
Right.
But at the same time, it feels like I need room for growth, too. I need to grow a little more. I need to reach those levels of those guys. Now I'm aiming for those guys.
All right, so we need to have
a
therapy session right now.
Yeah.
And this is for you.
Okay, have it.
First of all, your numbers are crazy better than my numbers, all right?
Really?
I'm doing it a year. Yeah,
no
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you doing a week now?
Well, we get about 50. We got 50,000 subscribers.
Okay, so that's about double mine. And I've only been doing it. Okay. So
I've been doing it a year, though.
Here's what you need to know.
Yeah.
Here's what you need to know. If you continue to think about what other people are doing,
yeah.
you're going to fail horribly.
Yeah.
If you continue to think, it just took me like, God, if I could just be Kevin Smith,
yeah.
you're going to wind up with a heroin needle hanging out of your arm, being raped in prison. What you need to do is just do what you do, keep doing it,
yeah.
and not give a flying rat's ass. Because I do it.
When it comes to showtime,
yeah,
that's how
too.
I am.
Yeah.
When it comes to showtime, that's how I am. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't spend 1 hour of the week, of the whole week, but 1 hour going, I got to find out how Mark Maron's conning people. And I'm like on the internet, I'm like, where's he lying? How is he doing this? I need to figure it out.
You know where Mark did it? He actually doesn't. Mark did this whole thing for a long time.
Yeah.
And then he said, fuck it. He really just gave up.
Yeah.
Mark, you know, that's a weird thing. The same with Titus is that we walked in and when we sold the show Titus, I had given up.
Yeah.
And I had tried this. I had three deals already and they didn't work out. And I went into the meeting and I was like, I really don't care what these people think about me. And these were the network people. And I said, listen, here's what I want to do. Here's the show I want to do. We're going to do black and white on the show. I want to do a show where we go into the darkest parts of my family. All I can guarantee is it's funny. I said, but at the end of this, this is going to change people's minds about how they feel about their lives. Because at the time, dysfunctional was a bad word.
Yeah.
And I said, I can handle anything. When Armageddon happened, if there was an earthquake during my colonic, I'd be like, I got this.
You'd be okay.
Because I live with my father, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So when I told him, I said, if you guys want to be about something that's going to change people's minds about their lives and make them feel better, then you should work with me. And if not, God bless. There's a million other ideas out there. And I walked out not giving a shit. And if you don't, so don't give a shit. Just keep doing what you do. And if you have think of your craziest idea and then do that.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting at. Yeah.
Now, you're going to push it too far. I did a show called Special Unit for Comedy Central.
Yes. By the way, what happened with this? Because I read about it, and it sounded genius.
The Shield with handicapped
people.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved the concept.
We're doing a movie of it. We're going to make it into a movie.
Okay, good.
Because disabled people don't have any outlets. I mean,
no.
The whole point of the show is people go, this is too edgy. I'm like, okay, so again, you're going to shut down. Everyone talks about how we want to help disabled, but no one's willing. Remember when the disabled actors and everybody had that big, they had a big protest here in L.A.? Like, we don't get jobs. So I wrote the show, Special Unit, which is where, due to the Fairness and Disability Act, I play this just half-criminal cop who they want to get off the street. So I have to hire four handicapped undercover detectives and teach them how to be cops, or the LAPD is going to lose a big chunk of its budget. And they end up being together way smarter than I am. They actually bust me on all the stuff I'm doing wrong, and they end up making me a better cop. And they're still like there's one like they're in the movie they have one two of them have a sex scene. And they both like are disgusted with each other at the end. Like they have their own prejudice. They have nothing to their disabilities. So they're like, my God, her halitosis is horrible. They're just like everybody. And the whole point of the movie was not to mock or make fun. It was actually because look, you can do a Hallmark card all day. People get that. People are like it's sappy and bullshit. But if you actually within comedy,
you're treating them like the real people.
Yes, there's this weird laughter in comedy where the opening is and they'll get stuff.
And the thing is, no one does that, especially when it comes to the handicap, like you're doing with this. So people would be seeing this for like the first time, which means there's, but that means there's huge comedy in it.
Yeah.
Like So I don't know, when you say crazy ideas, and this may just be because it's a comedian thing and being an artist, being a musician, maybe we're like, that sounds like the greatest idea ever. But what happens when you pitch that idea to money people?
We shot a pilot of it.
You did?
Yeah, there's a pilot.
So Comedy Central shot a pilot.
Comedy Central shot a pilot, really funny. Bryan Cranston directed it,
oh,
you know, and he's a friend of mine.
He's got a great sense of humor.
And he's one of the – he actually's in it. He plays as a dude. When they come in, their interviews, the handicapped dog, they all show up because they want to – and I'm walking down the hallway. I should tell it to you. I'm walking down the hallway, and there's all these disabled people, and Cranston's at the end of the table with a helmet on, head tilted to the side, and he's drooling on the floor, drools pouring out of his mouth. And I kick a waste bag across the room, and it lands right on the drill, and I start talking. He's just waiting for his turn. And we worked together, and it took him 8 months to say no, and they finally said no. And when I said why, I found out later that – here's what I heard. I heard that somebody on – and then the guys told me, Jim Sharp, great guy.
He said
somebody here has a child who's disabled, and they're high up, and they have no problem with this. They have a big problem with this. So it didn't get done. Look, there's going to be a backlash.
Yeah.
What pisses me off? I do a character called the inner retard. That little voice in your head that we all have, like when you're stage, it's the inner retard, the voice that doesn't like you. You know, and all you women out there, I found the great guy, and the inner retard is like, yeah, you know he's sleeping with your sister, right? If I was you, I'd start checking his text messages. You know? And so I started doing this thing, the inner retard, and I had people get – my sister didn't talk to me for 2 years because I did it. And so I want to be clear about the word retard. I need to claim this word back for us, don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, because by the way, if someone's got MS or CP or they got, legs going out the back of their shoulders because one of their chromosomes forgot to tell the DNA strand it was going on vacation, that's just disabled.
Yeah.
You know, and if someone called that person a retard, they have trouble with me. But every guy has a buddy who after his fifth beer will hang out a car window and go, hey, cops, you want to fight, faggots? That guy's a retard. Yeah. And that's the only word that fits. Dude, you're a retard. What are you doing? And so, I talked about this in the new show. And people have to get over it.
Yeah.
Like this gay marriage thing in North Carolina. Really?
Yeah, did you see that today?
What year is this?
Did you see that today? And by the way, we know which way that's going to go.
Yeah.
It's going to go the way where we're still going. What year is this? Really?
I just can't fathom in this year. Like, okay, so then let's do this. I don't think black people and white people should be able to get married too then.
Right.
Oh, and I don't think white people. In fact, like, 40 years when this place is all Latino.
Yeah.
And they start going, I don't think white people should work in high tech jobs anymore.
Well, movie studios will still not put into a $100 million movie a white lead and a black female lead, or a black male lead and a white female lead. They still won't do it.
Yeah.
They still won't do it. The closest thing we got to it, you're right, was Hitch with Will Smith and Eva Mendes. And I'm like, we're breaking the barriers. We're breaking those doors down.
It wasn't knocking down the fence. It was climbing a fence.
Yeah.
Yeah, just peeking over the top.
But, I'm reading this thing about the North Carolina shit today. And I want to talk to you a little bit about politics because you follow politics like I do.
Yeah.
Very closely.
Yes.
And, okay, so this North Carolina thing, are we supposed to be shocked now every time a state wants to ban gay marriage? Because it's like all of a sudden we're stunned about North Carolina. We were stunned about California. We were stunned. We're always stunned that someone wants to ban gay marriage, which is, it's happened. It's already going on.
Right.
We know every state wants to ban it. How are we going to get past being stunned and actually do something about it to stop them?
Well, okay, let's just go. It cracks me up that all these people that want to ban it are the first ones to bitch about their constitutional rights when it comes to buying a semi-automatic weapon. But when it comes to anybody else's fucking constitutional rights, they're like, sorry, that doesn't matter. We're gonna change the Constitution for us. It's like at the end of the day, all this stuff separates us as a country, and that's why we're slowly getting flushed down this fucking big toilet bowl. Because we stand back and people don't do anything. People don't.
No.
Thank God for the Occupy movement.
That's what I'm saying. No one's doing anything.
I want to point this out. Neverlution came out in July of last year, right? By taking the
2011,
country back.
Yeah.
And then September, the Occupy movement got on rolling. I'm not saying I started the Occupy movement. I'm just saying started the Occupy movement. I've never gone to one, but I just got it rolling. Let's just leave it at that.
You got it going.
I did the comedy special that kicked it off, and moving on.
They watch your special in Oakland every day. Every day when they're getting sprayed.
That'd be so weird.
They're
man.
Like, get sprayed for Titus, man. Do it for Chris.
At that point, I'm being helicoptered to Washington, D.C. and having meetings.
Yeah, that's true. So, my whole thing is, you know, Democrats and liberals and even independent thinkers were all acting shocked when they wanted to do invasive, you know, techniques on women's vaginas. Or
I mean,
they
I want to,
ban
but, yeah, but I don't want to make it a law.
Right, but and only Republicans can make that procedure sound disgusting to men.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Only Republicans could make going into a woman's vagina sound like the worst thing of all time. They do it. They do it real well. They make it sound disgusting.
Republicans have a whole disgust thing going on. And I don't know what I am. I called myself an independent for so long. And you know what's pulling me left? It's not the left. Because the left, by the way, Obama needs to nut up.
Oh,
he hasn't said anything about this.
He doesn't brag about anything.
I would go, dude, you know the first time you were for president, you were this ballsy man who said what he believed in you. And honestly, what we were talking about, he didn't give a shit.
No.
He was like, this is what I believe. This is what I'm going to do. No. Did it with healthcare. Now he's playing politics so hard to get this second term that, dude, you need to walk to the mic. You know what? And I'll tell you what, even people who didn't agree with him would have respect him if he went, listen, this is a constitutional right. Life, liberty, habit. It's in the Constitution.
Yeah.
We can't – okay, if you don't want me to ban black people and white people getting married, then you can't ban two people want to get married that want to get married. You just can't.
Yeah.
It's against our laws of the land. If he just did that, he'd go, so whether I'm for or against gay marriage doesn't matter. What does matter is that it's against the Constitution.
Yeah.
And if he did that, you would go, I don't care what side you're on. You go, oh, wow. He gets two for one on that. We get a president who's backing by – who's using the Constitution because everyone's claiming, we're a constitutional Republicans. Yeah, up until it comes to your guns or whatever like that. Up until it comes to gay marriage or whatever. And so he would get that, and then he would also get the, oh, this guy's got some balls. I like it. My dad said something weird once. Remember when Powell was going to run for president?
Yeah.
And that was a big deal. We're sitting there. My dad was half a racist. He really was. My dad would tell black jokes, all these jokes. But he's also like, if he saw a black guy getting beat up by four white guys, he would jump
right.
In
he would
fight.
Help the
black. Yeah,
he'd
jump the
black
guy. Right.
Yeah.
But he would also do racist jokes.
Yeah.
He'd feed fat to his friends. Right. Half a racist.
Yeah.
We're sitting there one day, and I know my dad, and Powell's on TV, and I go, and he just goes, you know, if you ran for president, I'd vote for him.
Yeah.
And I thought aliens had kidnapped my dad. I'm like, what? Who are you? And he goes, because like him or hate him or what color he is, I know he would do what's right for America.
Yeah.
And that's all we're looking for. I would vote for Republican if I knew at the end of the day he wasn't out of his freak. What happened to Republicans, man?
I don't know. I don't know. What is going on?
I used to be one. I voted for
him. Like, look at Romney, man. And I fight, you know, the guy that owns this place, Mike Binder, who's a big...
Mike Binder, great.
Mike Binder, yeah. And Mike and I are really close, and we're always
great
arguing
guy.
About... you know, politics. And, you know, I keep asking him this question, and I never get a good answer from anybody about this. Romney? That's your best?
Yeah, exactly.
That's it?
That's your A-team?
Right.
That's
your Murdoch? That's all you got?
Yeah.
Like, what happened to them, man? What happened? They used to have we used to come up with Democrats who were like, oh, we're not going to win. You know,
right.
Like...
Dukakis, get out of the tank.
Yeah,
get
Dukakis.
Out of the tank.
Yeah, Dukakis, you were just begging for someone else, anyone else. What is with Romney, man? Why are they... I just look at Romney in their mind, and then Ed Schultz's mind, I'm sure, as the lesser of two of all the evils. I think that's the deal.
I think he's more...
Or does he represent money? And do you think they like that?
He's wearing look. I don't want a president to ever wear white pants. If I ever see, it's like you look. You're not Gatsby, all right? Just shut up. You say, why don't you just give me some sort of something? And people keep going, well, he knows he's going to actually help the economy. Really? How?
How?
Why was he going to sell Arizona? Because that's all he did. That's all he did in the past is he bought companies and broke them up and sold them.
Yeah.
That's how he made his money.
Yeah.
He didn't build any companies. He didn't hire people. He didn't get people jobs. He just so we're going to sell out the South. We're going to sell off. Part of the South, we're going to sell it, you know, part of Wyoming, you know, get some oil money, and basically we're going to liquidate America, and then we'll be back on top again.
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
I'm wondering if that's what's going to happen, though, if he won.
Oh, the Japanese want us, and so does China. China wants a big chunk.
Like, my fear is, you know, everyone's like, oh, I fear Obama in another 4 years, Obama, you know, Hank Williams is throwing fits. But I fear that if Romney actually wins, how much of America are we actually going to own in 2016. How much?
Well, let me ask you this, and let's go the other way, because I hate, you know, when we do my podcast, I really try to be balanced. Like, I've gone after Democrats and stuff. I really, there's no point in going.
I got a lot of problems with Obama, and one of them is the bragging thing that you were talking about. You wouldn't even know the guy put a health care plan through office.
Right.
You wouldn't even know. Because he doesn't talk about it.
So you think he needs to brag more?
Yeah, I think he needs to show, like, look what I've put through, motherfuckers. And show a little balls.
Well, don't you think it's just border? Is it racism? Do you think there's a borderline racism thing? Because sometimes I go, I hear you're mad.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. And that's what we've had. I'm okay we don't agree. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But tell me why. I mean, we had an economy that was failing so bad. Yeah. That was literally going down a hill. He put the stimulus money in. And now we're at least, none of us are on fire.
Right.
You know, there's parts of the country, Detroit's bad. But he made us all so no one went. We didn't all are not living under bridges and boxes.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Right.
He changes up. Healthcare, don't know why people are freaking out. I know the insurance company has a lot of money, but I don't know why people we get universal health care, which a lot of – I went to Europe for the troops and stuff.
Yep.
And, I mean, by the way, just to be clear, I've gone to Iraq twice for the troops. And I've gone. So when it comes to where I stand in America
– No, you're
an
American.
I'm in a fucking
American. You're
an
American.
So you tell me what he did wrong. I keep going – because I want to know. I want to know why are you people so lividly pissed off?
Yeah, I just think what he does wrong is he's not strong enough about his beliefs. He doesn't show conviction. He doesn't show conviction, and he doesn't act like, don't fuck with me.
Right.
I wish.
Got the troops home, killed Bin Laden. General Motors is still alive.
Yeah.
General Motors is still alive. Chrysler's still
alive. When Jan Brewer put her finger in his face, I think he should have fired off. I really do. I think he should have said.
Little bitch slap?
Chris, how many.
You know, it's hard out here for a pimp.
How many Chris, in your lifetime, how many State of the Union addresses have you watched?
A lot.
Okay. Other than Obama, which has happened now twice, how many presidents have been mocked by someone in the audience that is a congressman or told to shut up or told he's a liar?
Look, I think
it'd be treason under any other president.
By the way, that's what I believe. There's been a lot of treason about Obama.
Yeah.
People have said stuff about it, a lot, but if you don't call it that. Someday, I'll be honest with you. I honestly believe there's a base level racism that's not going away.
Oh, yeah.
There's some people sitting in that audience in his state of unions that would like to hit him with a fire hose, like Selma, Alabama. They would just turn a fire hose on and say, "Get out of the diner."
Yeah.
The problem is that, and I think there was some woman that said on the news, they were talking about news, called Obama needs to be. I agree that Obama needs to be tried for treason. And I go, again, if you're going to say some shit like that, what you're talking about. At least just tell me what you're talking about. You know, where. And there isn't any. And I go, the economy, we've got 4 million jobs back. We've got – again, I look at the – I'm a facts guy.
Yeah.
You can have a great show, but at the end of the day, you got no substance. I don't give a crap.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
That's the Ed Schultz show.
Right. Yeah. But 4 million jobs, General Motors saved. General Motors we got Chrysler saved. That's a couple hundred thousand jobs. We've got – the economy's kind of growing still. Now, austerity didn't work in England. They basically went to austerity, and they're in the shitter again, and we're still not. So you tell me – look, I'm willing to listen. Just tell me where it went wrong.
Right. And then my other thing I love that they do – and, you know, once again, there's things Obama does, but Republican side, my new favorite thing was last month or 2 months ago when they started blaming gas prices on them. And what – you know, it's always a clip of Hannity. It's always a clip of Hannity. And, you know, he's blaming gas prices on him. Or those four turds they have on in the morning.
Right.
And they got the random black guy who's supposedly a Democrat, but he's the dumbest Democrat of all time. I forget his name even.
Is this a Red Eye show?
Red Eye. Yeah. And they always have the one Democrat guy, and he makes no points for the Democrats. And then he sometimes sides with the Republicans.
Yeah.
So they're really fair and balanced over there. But Hannity blames him on the gas prices. And then I love it. Like, do these people – I kind of sometimes feel like Republicans forget YouTube exists and other things exist. Because you just go back 2 years and you see Hannity defending Bush saying the gas prices aren't the problem of the president. The president has nothing to do with gas prices. Well, do they not know YouTube exists?
The problem is they bet on that America is stupid. They really bet on it. They double down all the time. Hey, America's the stupidest, and people aren't going to buy it. And Romney is amazing. Romney today said, well, Obama did what I told him to do, and he let the companies go bankrupt, the managed bankruptcy. That's what I said. No, You said, screw him, let him go under. That's what you said. Now he's saying that he said he just like Obama, I was the first guy to say manage bankruptcy. You didn't say manage. You said fuck him. That's what you said. Yeah. You clearly said fuck him. Here's the clip. You want to watch it? No, I didn't say that. Really? How stupid are we?
How do people still even vote for him in Michigan after what he said? I don't even get it. And then I've talked to people from Michigan who have told me that's not what he said. And then I'll show them the exact quote. And then they will tell me, well, that's from the Huffington Post or this or that. So that's all bullshit.
So what do we do? So what do we do human being-wise? Jump in here, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah, I'm just a...
She loves
like
Mitt Romney. She's really hurt.
What do we do? All right, she's hallucinating. Yeah. I forgot. She's on that. She's totally... She's fasting. She just slept for eight minutes.
She probably sees Romney and Obama right now.
She's like, can't understand words anymore. Don't know what to say. Brain not working. No glucose to burn. I just think, let's lay it out. Here's what I would bet you. And everybody who's listening, now if you just believe that this president, you don't want Obama's president, whatever's in your heart. If he's a black guy, you don't want a black guy for president. You don't want to, whatever it is in your heart, that's fine. But do me a favor. Sit down at home and you write down the list of crap that went on in the Bush presidency. Then write down the list of what was accomplished and failed in the Obama presidency, and you compare those two lists.
Yeah,
and you tell me you want another Republican in the office again. Then go back to Clinton and write a list. Then write a list of what was accomplished during them. Now there was the whole blowjob incident. I'm sure that was more than enough to bring down a country.
Yeah.
And by the way, if we'd have had all this TMZ reporting way back in Lincoln's time, I'm sure we'd have known something that he did something with his log too. I just said Lincoln log cabin. It's a weird connection.
It's funny.
I was wrong. It was a bad dick joke, and I apologize.
It's a fine dick joke.
You with me?
Fine.
All right.
Dick joke.
Make sure you,
I'm still here.
All right.
John Travolta loved that dick joke. Continue.
So when you go through it, the only thing that works is not separating us. The only thing that works is actually us coming together.
Yeah.
And you know who I actually believe right now is treasonous right now? Who what the most un-American group of people currently on this planet are?
Who?
Congress.
Yeah.
I have never seen a more un-American group of people. They don't give a flying rat's ass about this country or their jobs that they were elected to.
Well, since when do you need 60 votes to pass something? I miss this? This was a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I totally missed this.
Well, the problem with it is that when you stop thinking, here's what pisses me off. Because as I got older, it's so funny, I started sounding like this curmudgeonly guy. Yeah. I remember back in the 30s. As I got older, I started to realize that there's just douchebags like me there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would want to be there. There's just idiots in there like that. They're more narcissistic and more egomaniacal than that. And I'm a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And all they give a crap is about themselves. And then this whole Citizens United case. I cannot believe. Why don't you just bend our whole? Why don't you? I have never seen someone rape the earth worse than the Supreme Court. They raped the earth. How do you rape the earth? Because what's going to happen now is all the corporations are going to buy presidents, and they're just going to destroy everything.
And by the way, this is why Obama winning is so important in 2012. There is probably going to be a seat up in the Supreme Court in that term.
Yeah.
And we need it. Bad. Look, because in my point of view, the Supreme Court kind of runs the country because Congress doesn't really do it anymore, and there's not really much of a democracy anymore.
We haven't passed a budget in 3 years. We violated the Constitution. Do you guys know? People don't understand.
Guys are just getting paid to do nothing.
People don't understand how far we are outside the law with Congress right now. We haven't passed a budget in 3 years. They keep doing these half-assed measures. It's the most un-American, most anti-American group on the planet is Congress right now.
Filibustering, I think, is treason.
Yeah,
treason.
By the way, I've been in trouble for saying shit like this before. I did the Sarah Palin joke that one time, and I got accused for like.
Well, we know how much you love.
I did my research.
You know what I did though, but I apologize for it. Here's what a pussy Bill O'Reilly is. Bill O'Reilly gets on TV, says that I threatened to kill Sarah Palin, blah blah blah.
Yeah, he did.
What I said was, I said, boy, if she's elected president, I will be hanging out. I'll reserve a spot on the grassy knoll.
She'd have to come to your house in order for you to kill her.
I said, I will reserve a spot on the grassy knoll. Yeah. Now, just to be clear, the Warren Commission proved that nobody was on the grassy knoll. It was one single shot from the book depository. Basically, all I was saying was I was going to sit on my ass and watch the new stupid president drive by. But let's
that's
be
great.
But let's
that's
be
great.
But let's be clear. Let's say because my intention it was a joke. It was in joke form. Ted Nugent, on the other hand, held a semi-automatic weapon in his head and said, "Suck on this, Obama."
Yeah.
Hey, Hillary, why don't you ride on my gun? I told Obama to suck on my machine gun.
Yeah.
That's what, not a joke. For God's sake, say stupid shit, but put it in joke
that's
form.
That's the same Ted who said last week he was going to fuck that news reporter.
Yeah.
And then let the other one suck his dick.
And no one has.
Good job, Ted.
So here's what happens. So Bill O'Reilly goes on TV and he goes, if Mr. Titus wants, he's a pinhead. If he wants to come on the show and talk about what he said, gladly. I called him. I said, get him on.
No, it's done.
And then
it's done.
Yeah, he goes, no, it's over. I apologize.
As soon as Bill called you out, it was over.
But here's the thing about standing for your guns. So I write, you know what? I said to the Palins, I really apologize.
Yeah.
I said, if you actually thought I was, that was my man.
I saw the Facebook apology. You apologized.
Yeah, I said, but the reason I said this, because we as Americans have set the bar for a possible leader
so low
that we would actually consider Sarah Palin. You don't give the stupid cheerleader the Uzi.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, sorry for if I was out of line, I'm sorry. I still believe this.
But, I mean, this is what gets me mad. I knew I was reading this today. I typed it up just to make sure I was right. Romney, quote, still deciding what his position on immigration is.
He's the nominee, right?
Shouldn't he
know that by now?
Well,
you know why? He's got to interview the guys mowing his lawn and painting his house. He's got to spend a little more time. They're busy right now, and they're not done yet. So he's got some.
All right, I do want to promote a few things.
Got some people raising his kids, his younger kids, that he's got to wait till they're finished changing diapers.
You can go to ChristopherTitus.com. You have to get the DVD box set of Get a Real Job, Numbnuts. It's your best of your comedy. It's all your Comedy Central specials, right?
Yeah, Comedy Central only shows 42 minutes. They're all 90-minute specials, and they all have a theme.
So they're the whole thing?
Yeah, and I named it Get a Real Job, Numbnuts, because my father hated my stand-up comedy.
Yeah,
You know why? My dad would sit in the audience, and he wouldn't watch me. He would turn his chair, and he'd watch the audience. And I could literally get a standing ovation. My father would find the two people that hated my guts, and I'd get off stage, and he'd go, see the guy in the red shirt? That guy?
He didn't stand.
Yeah, you need to quit this shit and get a real job, Numbnuts. That's what he would say. And so I named it Get a Real Job, Numbnuts. And then my favorite, my shining moment in broadcasting is I went on Dr. Phil. They called me, and they were like, they had me and Daryl Hammond on. Because we want to find people.
You were on Dr. Phil?
Who can turn the pain into laughter. Yeah.
So Daryl Hammond was the second choice.
No, Daryl Hammond was
first. Was he on because of the pain, though, because of his book?
He had that book.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I always believe whenever you're a comic and you're on, you'd be funny. Daryl's a great guy.
Yeah.
But some of the stories were so harrowing.
Terrible.
I was like,
you can't make fun of them.
Like Stephen King was going, no,
yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
So I get on, and I'm telling all the – I'm doing it in joke form. And at the end, Dr. Phil holds up the box set on TV and goes, his new DVD box set is out. Get a Real Job, Numbnuts. Dr. Phil said Numbnuts on TV. I've never been prouder.
That's a good impression. I like that.
I'm going to go drive by Phil's house in Beverly Hills
and just blast
him saying, get a real job, Numbnuts.
I should actually turn it into a ringtone.
That's what you need to do. I would have it so when you get on your website and you like click on it, it says, get a real job, Numbnuts.
That's brilliant.
It's great. That's great.
But you go to ChristopherTitus.com and I sign everyone. Anybody wants one,
wow.
I sign them all. Yeah.
That's great. He signs them. Yeah. That's real nice.
Yeah. Well, you know what's weird is that thank God for the internet because I've had a couple companies. There's a company that owns Love is Evil and they sold like this crazy number, like 50,000 of them. And I go, am I ever getting a check for my art that I worked years on? And they were like, well, we have shelving fees. And they sent me this breakdown. It was shelving fees and advertising and there's no money.
Yeah.
There's no money at all.
Have you thought about...
So now I do it myself.
That's why I was going to ask you. Have you thought about your next special being internet only? Being web-based?
No, Louis did that.
Louis did it well.
He did it really well. And you have to figure out, can you do it that well? So, yes.
Here's my thing. You know, I was going to ask you, speaking of Louis, this is interesting. Because Titus was all you. In a sense, okay?
Yeah, my family, I was right around the show, yeah.
Yeah.
I came up with 22 episode ideas a year, oh yeah.
Louis' show is not too different from yours in the sense of the autonomy of it.
It's all him, yeah.
Right. Okay. Have you thought about taking an idea like Titus to a cable network and doing it that way? I mean, I'm sure you've thought about it, or maybe, but
it's weird because now, because we did that.
Maybe you can't do the same show, but an updated version of your life, kind of like Louis, because you got that great sense of humor that would be great for what an FX is looking or an AMC.
Yeah, we're working on some now. I tell you what, there's the problem is that TV moves on. TV moves on. So in 2000, we did Titus, and Jack Kenny and Brian Hargrove, brilliant guys that wrote it with me. We had Chris Sheridan and Patrick. We had just great writers on the show, guys that were willing to take a chance. One of my things in the writers' room was always, what's the next level? I go, that's funny, what's the next level? And they started making fun of me, but we always came up with something that was funnier than what was already funny.
Yeah.
And that's why the show was so good. And then since then you had Grounded for Life, and then you had Bernie Mac, and then you had now Raising Hope is on. And if we did something like that now, people would just go, what the fuck? He's doing the same shit again. So you have to come up, like Louis did it in a way where he came up with something that's his own. So you need to come up with that
thing. What's interesting is Louis did kind of do another version of the show with Mike Royce, who's a friend of mine on HBO, had Louis.
Right.
Lucky Louis.
Right.
Lucky Louis. And he kind of did. It's not that far off from what this new version is. I mean, it's more of a sitcom and a dark, like, R-rated sitcom. But I kind of feel like there's got to be that inside Christopher Titus's, like, deep, like, personal bullshit. There's got to be a show there, man.
I don't know how much further I can go into my...
There's got to be a show there. Yeah. I totally think so.
No, there is. There's something that we're working on
with
a company right now that we just started working on it, so we'll see.
Very
good. Yeah, and by the way, there's no point in doing it unless it makes a difference.
It's
no point, like your music. I'm sure when you're doing your music, you're like, I can write a stupid song and make some money. We're going to make money. You're talented. It's just like, how do I do it? Look, if you could live your life by what are they going to say about me in 50 years,
then
you'll make different decisions. Your art will be better, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, I think.
And thank you. Good night, everybody.
That's the moral of the story.
We're gonna get.
Thank you.
We're gonna get Titus's next show on OWN. That'll be the right place for it.
Yes. With Dr. Phil, call back.
Dr. Phil, playing my father. Come here, Numbnut.
Get a real job.
By the way, I love this Romney story. By the way, about the woman that said Obama was committing treason, and all Romney did was. Of course he does not agree.
Right.
All he said was, of course. That's it. He doesn't agree. I remember when they were accusing Obama of being a terrorist and Muslim when McCain was running. McCain was like, no, he's not. He's a good person.
Right.
And that's the deal. He's
right.
A good dude. He took a mic out of a woman's hand once and said, you're done.
You're done talking.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
I love that about McCain, by the way.
Yeah, he's
McCain,
a good dude.
By the way, had McCain done a better VP choice?
Yeah, he could have won.
She, let's just be honest. She flat out lost the election for McCain.
Yeah.
Obama was a great speaker, but had he had a VP choice that was a decent enough moderate that could have actually gone, okay, well, if this old guy who can't move his arm dies, we got this guy. But we all went, holy shit, that's who we get if this guy dies?
Yeah. And then I kind of feel like the other scenario is kind of like with Mitt Romney right now. Well, who else did they have for – like, look at Romney's choice for VP now. Marco Rubio? Like –
But that's such a it's such an ugly choice because it's just because it's just a Latino vote. It's just
it's like
crap.
The token guy in a movie, you know?
Exactly.
All right, we're gonna get Rubio
and
we need
George
to nail
Lopez
those
as Marco Rubio.
that's funny. You know what? Talk to me though about the Titus podcast. So we want to talk about, when did you start this? You started
about a year ago. We do one a week. We always deal with the news. Sometimes it's really hard to write because podcasts started as kind of this, a bunch of stoners kind of talking about, right? And I thought, well, what's not being done? And, I think one of the current American, treasures and American hero is Jon Stewart right now.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart, even Colbert, too, in his own way. He's an American hero. This guy every day goes into an area, and even the people that hate him, can't deny that he's ridiculously funny.
Yeah, and charming.
And right. So we wanted to have this feeling instead of just like this incestuous podcasting where the same 12 comics get together and talk. We wanted to do something that every week you could go. Someone wrote on Facebook like, "Dude, I stopped watching CNN. I just listened to what you just talk about." I get to rant about the world. It's weird. Like again, I get to get it out.
Yeah.
You know, because my girlfriend just has to tolerate me all the time going, are you looking at this? Are you watching this? Look at this shit. Why do you turn it off? I can't turn it off.
I do the same thing. I sit there and I'll watch. I'm a liberal, and I watch Ed Schultz, and I can't stand it. I can't stand the show. I can't stand him. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, because I can't watch Fox News. So the guy I'm always bitching about, Ed, because he has his little stupid Twitter feed at the bottom with all his minions tweeting how svelte Ed looks today.
Yeah, smug is ugly on anybody.
He has a huge head and that slick back hair, and I'm like,
wow, you've gone all the way. You're across the board. Mentally, physically, you just can't stand the guy.
No, Ed, but then there's Rachel Maddow, and I don't care how lesbian she is, I want her so bad.
Yeah.
And it's because how smart she is, too.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
great.
There was this one time she was making cocktails on the air, and I'm like, is anyone home? I'm turning down the lights, lighting a candle. Take me there, Rachel. Take me there.
Meatloaf, you're mine. We were talking, my girlfriend and I were talking about Rachel Maddow. My girlfriend's she's kind of conservative. She and her parents, her dad's a Marine.
Really?
Her mom lives in Kuwait. You know, her mom's husband works with the U.S. government. And she's really conservative, and yet Rachel Maddow, she's just kind of like, you know, again, there's some people we can't deny. I listen to Fox News. I listen to Fox News on the way over. I listen to MSNBC on the way over, and I listen to CNN. And if you'll do that, and the problem is that most people won't.
Yeah.
The only way you can get a cool thing is listen to them all, and you can very quickly figure out that this world, it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit on toast. That's all it is. MSNBC, so far, you know, they're talking about how, thank God our deficit is so high. Without that, our economy would be so crappy. Yeah. Well, yeah, but down the road, guess what? We're all going to be, you know, eating cans. It's going to be 1935 again. So, and then you listen to Fox, and you're just like, what the fuck are these people talking? How do you just live in a world where what you just said is not anywhere near the facts?
Right.
And then you go to CNN.
It's like that show has hire writers. Fox News, I feel like Hollywood writers are just like scripting shows and giving them to them, like Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich, because they're not good writers. They're the guys that write Godzilla and like. I'm watching.
After Tomorrow.
Yeah. And I do watch. If my roommate was here, I watch Fox News. We'll click over. And, you know, I'll just be like, all right, I just want to see what they say about Trayvon Martin. I just want to see, let's see what happens here. Let's just test it out. And then by 2 minutes in, I'm yelling. I'm screaming. It's ridiculous.
That thing was weird. You know what was weird that weirded me out of the Trayvon Martin thing? Did you follow it all?
Do you know who, really? Wait, Hollis.
Do you
know who
Trayvon
Martin is?
By the way,
Martin
I was high.
Is?
That's why I'm doing a cleanse right now.
Yes.
I was high eating cheese.
I'm also doing a digital detox.
Do you know
a digital
who?
Detox.
Yes, a digital detox.
That's what she's
not
saying.
Do you know who George Zimmerman is? Not to be mistaken with Ron Zimmerman, my favorite comedian.
George Zimmerman.
Crazy Ron Zimmerman.
Okay. Hey, you don't know this whole Zimmerman thing? Let's go over this for her. You know why? Because maybe we'll get some insight into what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's this kid named Trayvon Martin. He had been kicked out of school. They'd found something in his. They found like a something in his bag. But he's a decent kid though. Decent grades, good grades. You know, a black kid, 17-year-old black kid. And he's walking in. He's in Florida, which, by the way, more weird shit happens in Florida than anywhere on this planet. I wish we could just figure out.
Go to weird news on Huffington Post.
If aliens could please just laser Florida off and let it float out to sea.
Yeah.
You know? So I'd be okay with that. I really would. So
he was suspended 3 times from school for having an empty bag of marijuana.
Okay, that's right. So
terrible human being.
But here's the thing: is that we all smoked pot in high school.
Everybody.
Like everybody.
He
I
was
get
just
it.
Dumb enough to leave it in his book bag.
I get it. So, in his book bag with his books, and his grades were okay. Okay, so he gets his mom sends him to his dad. His dad was a bit of a disciplinarian and a hard ass. So the kid's not getting away with anything. He's in trouble while he's suspended. He walks to the store one night to get his little brother lives with his dad, get a pack of Skittles and a Arizona iced tea. As he's walking back to this neighborhood, this self-appointed neighborhood watch guy, right?
Yeah.
He was self-appointed. Neighborhood
watch
guy.
Self-appointed,
Zimmerman, who failed as getting to become a cop, basically called 911 on the kid and started going, hey, there's this kid. There's this guy. He didn't say kid. There's this guy walking around. He's, you know, he's looking suspicious. And the guy gets out of his car. And the 911 operator goes, are you following him? And he goes, yeah. He goes, we don't need you to do that. And he goes, okay. What ends up happening is he confronts the kid. In the middle of the night, no uniform or anything, carrying a gun, they got into a fight or whatever happened, and the dude shot the kid. Cops didn't arrest the guy. They let him go. Now, since you don't know, I want to see what your reaction to this is.
What do you mean they let him go, though?
They let him go.
Oh, see? What do you mean you let
they
him go?
They didn't arrest him. They took him into the into the police station and let the guy who shot the 17-year-old kid who had Skittles go.
You know what I want to see?
Look at the look on her face. That was the collective look of America for a while.
Even better, I want to know, if you had to guess how many days it took for them to arrest him, how many days do you think it took for them to arrest George Zimmerman? All this evidence piles up. They have on tape. They have him in the police station without a broken bone on his body.
He claimed that the kid busted his nose. He claimed that the kid threw him down and was beating him, and that's why he shot him. So there's video of him walking the police station after this, shirt tucked in, nothing on him, nose perfect. There may be two little scratches on the back of his head.
Yeah. And by the way, if the kid was on top of him when he shot him, now, I watch my share of Law & Order at CSI.
CSI,
so let me tell you something.
We're not idiots.
Wouldn't there be blood on his clothes? Wouldn't there be blood on his, you know, no, there's none.
Nothing.
So how many days do you think it took to arrest this guy? To finally arrest him.
So they finally did arrest him.
How long do you think it would take after all this stuff came out?
A month?
50 days.
Yeah, 50 days.
No way.
Yeah. And the only reason it happened is because everyone started...
46 days, exactly.
Things started to...
So he was just walking around free for those 50 days, not no remorse, then they shot this...
Then they asked for... So anyway, so then they asked for bail. The guys, they gave him $150,000 bail, let him out, because he pleaded poor. Turns out he had $200,000+ in a PayPal account that he'd asked for from people who donated to him.
Yeah.
I got in a screaming argument with a really good friend of mine about this. Because he kept going, well, you don't know how tall the kid was. And I kept going, he's a 17-year-old kid walking through a neighborhood with Skittles. And he's like, you don't know, man. And I said, let me tell you something. If you walked up on me, I don't care who you are, you walk up on me while I'm just innocently walking home, and you got a gun out, and you go, who are you? And I'm going to be like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
That's my first question. You know, what are you doing here? What, you know, identify yourself. So whatever happened, this kid got shot, and he died. He's done.
Yeah.
And this guy didn't get arrested. So it scares me to think that 2012 and the racism, that the overt racism that came out after.
Yeah. This was in Florida, you said?
Yeah.
Where all the great cases are.
It all happens in Florida, man.
It does. Because that's what I love about your show is you got a great concept. You do news. And I believe the quote, which I love, the motto of the show is never unbiased.
Always unbalanced.
Always unbalanced.
Never unbiased.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Okay. But, you know, what I love about your show is, and we do the news on our show, too, and it's, everything crazy is Florida.
Yeah, it's
Florida.
Now, I did a Corolla show. Corolla brought it up a long time ago, and I remember I was like, yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Then when we started doing news, it's all Florida.
It's all Florida.
Like, what is wrong with it? Like,
all Florida.
I don't. You know,
how many times we've done Florida? It's Florida.
You know those planes that disappeared off the coast in back in the 40s? I think they were shot down by Floridians.
Yes,
and there was no Bermuda Triangle. They fucking shot them down.
Absolutely.
Just keep it quiet. Don't say nothing.
Real quickly, while we got our listeners listening here, Thursday, Devin Sawa and Wes Chatham from Philly Kid. And Devin Sawa, of course, everyone remembers as Casper. Yeah. And
I remember him. From
Little
that,
Giants, which is one of my favorites.
I always remember.
Yeah, Night of
Did you see that? That
Idle
was like
Hand.
I think that was on Family.
Yeah.
Family
Idle Hand, Final Destination.
Yeah.
Boy, I just sound like the biggest Devin Sawa fan ever.
Yeah, little geeky.
Little gay.
Yeah, a little bit. I was going to say it. I'm glad you did.
You were going to say
glad
I'll
you owned
say
it.
It.
You owned it. It was good.
Little. Yeah. All right. I like Little Giants. That was like, I grew up during those movies, though. I was like, God, I was probably, when Little Giants came out, I was 13,
I
11, 11, I was 11. That's Ed O'Neill, Rick Moranis.
Yep.
Rick Moranis plays a football coach, so hang in there. Hang in there with the reality.
I'm out already, actually.
And Devin Sawa's in it, and this girl's in it who, I don't know what happened to her, but I used to think she was the hottest girl. But then I kind of figured out along the way that I must be into lesbians, because her name in the movie is Icebox. If that doesn't mean
that's
big time lesbian,
that's definitely a hint.
And I remember when I was a little kid, I didn't know what lesbian or gay was until I went to Catholic school. Funny enough, but so I always thought like Rosie O'Donnell was straight, and like Nathan Lane, I thought was. I had no idea. I was the last one to get on that.
Where
bus.
Were you raised?
Chicago.
Okay.
So I should know, but I don't. My mom kept me from that kind of stuff. She didn't want me to know about the lesbians. No.
California, they gave us we had a class about it. Yeah. All right, welcome to lesbian class. They didn't teach you how. They just told you why.
Well, I read in the news, and you've been doing your show this long, so you got to know about this. When was it in the news they were complaining about gay history gay culture being taught in history classes?
Yeah,
and it just got put into California. They
right.
just voted on it that they were going to teach gay history in school.
How about you teach history?
Yeah,
Black history
gay history.
Well, gay is Harvey Milk. How come these great people aren't just it bothers me that we keep breaking it down. Why do we need to pie off?
Yeah.
How come we can't just all go, we're part of the same group? If you did something great, I don't give a shit if you were gay or half alien, whatever. I don't give black, gay, it doesn't matter. Why don't we just teach history? These are the people that made the planet a good place. Okay, let's learn about them.
But
no, that guy was a Mo.
You're a turning a Mo. You're a turning.
I don't want to learn Mo history. There's no way.
I love that. You're a touring comic, though. So you totally get this, and I've been all over, and I I'm from Chicago. The attitude in, L.A., we're in, a bubble here where we're like, why isn't everyone just get along?
Yeah,
and
right.
Why can't we just accept everybody? And, as soon as you go to Utah, it's like, I hate the gays.
You know what's weird is that I actually talk about this on stage sometimes. I'll go off. I think Nevolution was kind of about this.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of pussies. A, we're a bunch of self-centered pussies. B, we're self-centered pussies. And you know what's weird is because I tour all the time, the basic level is all acceptance. It's the loud people. There's these people that are loud. That's why you think that everybody in North Carolina is crazy. Because there's 20 loud people that are always on TV, and you go, oh, my God, that's North Carolina. No, it's 20 idiots who've got nothing else going on. And it's the same everywhere. Most people are like, yeah, you know what I really like? I'd like to get my check to clear for my job.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to go to Costco and leave with some money left. And I'd like my kids to be okay. That's pretty much what everybody thinks. And if you just can – so I think that we're a lot closer than – the media lets us believe.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. But, even just when I drive to Vegas, I meet somebody who just
Barstow's its own thing, man. Barstow's its own thing. Barstow is Florida West. Whatever's going on in Barstow.
So did you ever stop in Barstow and go, oh, I'm going to stop at the Jack in the Box, get a burger.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I'm never coming back here.
Yeah, gas. Sometimes gas. You're forced to get gas. Yeah. And then there's that Jack in the Box. And I've gone through twice. And every time I'm like, I can't wait to get the fuck out of here. It's almost it's like a Tarantino film at times. You're like, any second this could break off into a Tarantino film.
Yeah.
I need to get out of here.
Yeah. And they got all these diners that they promote as 1950s diners, but they all look like they're out of Hitchcock movies.
Yeah,
and you see them as you're going by the road.
Yeah, they haven't been retrofitted since the 50s. That's what
no,
it means. There's
not
been
right.
nothing. The same grill, the same grease, 1950.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How often do you get to go to Vegas, though?
I'm doing September in Vegas at one of the clubs.
Beautiful.
And I think I'll be doing Tahoe pretty soon. I'm not a big casino
Do you know
fan.
Which club you're doing in Vegas?
It's the one that – I think it's the one that looks like an old whorehouse.
So that narrows it down. Circus, Riviera.
There's a big thing in Vegas that looks like an old old Western town.
Like
kinda.
The cat house.
It's on the way in.
I know.
It's on the way in.
Oh,
it's on the outskirts.
When you first get into Nevada, and then you see
it's on the freeway.
But it's like Buffalo Bills.
It's bigger than that, but it's a whole big concept. Whatever.
All right.
Look, all I know is the check's gonna clear, right?
Yeah. That's right. So why don't you like casinos though?
Because
are you too famous for casinos?
No, people are just soulless in there. Look, go spend 40. Vegas is a great idea going. Vegas is never a great idea leaving.
I want to live there.
When you really do,
I really do.
Have you ever been to Laughlin?
Here's
Laughlin.
That's eight hours away, though.
Wait, but I remember going there when I drove cross country, and they were like, "We got to stop here. It's like the fake mini Vegas."
I like Reno more than Vegas.
What?
I like Reno more than Vegas. I do.
It's kind of classier.
Wow, dude! I got to be honest. If you like Reno, I want to meet your parents, bro. Because if you like Reno, that makes me just go.
Well, I kind of like it. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, and no one's bothering you, and I can just like gamble all by myself in a corner.
You're a shut-in hoarder. That's what you are, aren't you?
I will smoke five packs of cigarettes at the same blackjack table for 4 hours.
If you're a gambler, I can see you. My girlfriend.
I want to do my show from there. We want to get a casino to have our show.
That's a good idea.
That's what we want.
My girlfriend's talk to the Sands. They desperately need something. My girlfriend booked a club at the Sands for a while. And here's about it. So one night we got done with the show and we were going to our room and the room was locked. Like, you know, keys wouldn't work.
No.
So we go, okay, and we had a couple in us and we're sitting because it was just from the show to the thing, and we had a couple after the show, and we're sitting in the hallway, and we call the guy, and they said, all right, we're going to come fix it. Guy comes with a MasterCard, it won't open it. Okay, so he leaves, and we're like, we're talking in the hallway. The guy comes back with a screwdriver, tries to open the door, it won't open. Guy leaves again, comes back again, he's got a 4-foot crowbar, sticks in the door and goes, crack, and cracks the door open, and he goes, there you go. So, and we are hysterical. At this point, we're hysterical in the hallway laughing because that was the key. That was the master key with the 4-foot crowbar.
Yeah, the master key.
The door wouldn't lock.
Yeah.
And they didn't put us in another room. We just slept.
So you had to, like, move your dresser up against the door just in case.
All you had to do was push the door to open up. So, you know, raped and killed in Reno is not how I want to end.
All right.
But obviously you do, so go for that.
You love Reno.
Now I don't know how good I'm feeling about Reno anymore.
Vegas is a fun place to go if you're partying. But Vegas has a weird way of sucking the soul out of me, man.
Do you think if you were my age, though, you wanted to live in Vegas? When you were 28, did you want to live in Vegas? Did that sound like a great idea to you at 28?
I worry about who I would become in 4 years living in
Vegas. Oh, I'm totally worried about that. I love the idea of finding out. I love that idea.
I need to come back on in 4 years.
Yeah.
And we didn't find any.
Yeah, well, hopefully sooner than 4 years. I love how every presidential election.
Just to see who you become.
On. Yeah, well, he won't be surprised. No, I just there's something about Vegas I love, and I don't think I can live there forever. But I kind of want to live like a. What I love about it is the history. What I love about it is the Sinatra. My favorite movie is Casino.
Right.
I love gambling. I love the horses. I love the sports book.
Vegas is for you.
I don't like what it's become. I don't like Planet Hollywood. I think it's a steaming pile of crap.
Yeah.
I think girls dancing in fluorescent lights on top of a blackjack table is blasphemous. I think, I don't like how it's become.
I like that you have standards. I like that now you have standards. Like here are my horrible vices that are basically going to kill me early. But I do have limits.
And look, ever since I quit booze, I'm more focused on my poker playing now.
Right. Are you good at it?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at poker.
See, if you're good at it, you can make money at it. I go to Vegas. The only time I ever made money in Vegas is when I had my TV show, and it didn't matter that I lost the money. And it didn't matter.
And you actually won.
I won my ass off that night.
You didn't really care as much as you would have.
The universe was too good to me at one point.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I can't, I don't even, this is,
when you won your ass off, were you like, man, I'd care about this a lot more 3 years ago.
Yes. And I know who I am, so I can see my future. I'm going to care about it a lot more 7 years from now.
7 years
but I should
invest this.
Vegas is fun if you see it as that. But if you're good at poker and you can actually, if Vegas is business to you and you dig it, then go for it. Then.
See, my thing is, I want to do the show there for like 1 year. 1 year I want to do the show there for. And then if it gets too crazy, I'm out. Because I still want to act and write. But I'm like, I'm young. There's an opportunity for a huge audience in Vegas.
When are you doing it? When are you doing this? When
I don't know.
We're looking at it now. Look, you have to. This sounds serious.
We're
not bullshit, right?
Now. Yeah, it is serious.
You're really going.
It is serious.
Are you really going?
Yeah.
Then you have to go.
I'm planning on it. We're trying to get the right casino, and we have a meeting at Sirius in a few weeks.
Pick
and
a
we're
date.
Trying to figure it
pick
out. Pick a date. When are we starting this thing?
I'll tell you what, it's weird because it just crossed this weird line.
We are going next week.
And then you heard he was dead serious, right?
No, I want to do 1 year from there because I think it'll be crazy interesting.
You're going there next week?
I got it.
Yeah, I'm going there next week.
We might be. I might be going.
I'm going to. Come with us.
Where's my soul? Where's my soul?
No, come with us. We're going to the Trop next week.
Oh, okay.
Now they redid the Trop and... Yeah. We're going to go to the Trop. And my buddies are coming in from Chicago and, you know, politicians and me. That'll be fun.
Politicians.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, Chicago politicians.
Chicago politicians. Oh.
Spending tax money.
In Vegas.
In Vegas, I'm
that's
sure.
That's so right. That sounds so right.
There was a
Chicago
news
politicians in Vegas.
There was a news story. My buddy called me and he goes, our buddy Lenny's a politician and his friends are politicians. Our friends. And my buddy calls me and he goes, there's a news story right now on Channel 5 talking about city politicians using tax money to fuel trips to Vegas. And I call Lenny and I go, are you watching this? And he's like, who gives a fuck?
It's Chicago.
He's like, who cares?
But that's the answer to anything that goes wrong in Chicago politics. It's Chicago.
Yeah, it's Chicago.
If you actually get pissed at anything wild that happens in Chicago politics, you're an idiot.
Are you doing any Chicago tours?
Yeah, there's a great club. There's a new club called Up that opened up in Second City.
Don't know of it.
And then there's another one I always do the Schaumburg Improv. It's great. And
yeah,
next week, if I can whore this, next week I'm in Baltimore.
Yeah, cool.
And I got a whole new show from Nevolution called Scarred for Life that we got 3 out of 5 standing ovations last week in Irvine.
That's great.
In Ontario, yeah.
That's great. Are you doing when's the next show I could see? I'm leaving here. I go to Chicago in June.
I think it's in June.
It's in June? You're in Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
coming. I want to come. I would love to see you.
I've got a 22-minute bit about meeting Bruce Springsteen.
No way.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy.
I've seen Bruce 20 times in concert. 20.
Nice.
He was here? No, here at the show, yeah.
Yes, he was at the Coney Dog.
I can tell you, I'm friends. It's weird. The story's about this. Like, my whole show's about being a loser and all my screw-ups in life, losing my TV show, all these horrible things I've destroyed.
But you're getting paid to be a loser, so that's
the weird thing is, though, the more I succeeded, the bigger my screw-up was. So I finally get and my divorce was horrible.
Yeah.
In the middle of my divorce, I run in. Nils Lofgren comes to the show in Phoenix, and I get to meet him. And I go. It's weird that you're here because I'm a huge fan. You're one of the best guitarists of all time. And he goes, well, Bruce and Patty are fans.
Yeah.
And I was like, Bruce who? Because there's no way
and
that
you
guy
Bruce
knows.
And Patty, so you were like, no way.
No, I was like, yeah, you can't believe it.
Yeah, right.
And so he invites us to the show at the LA Arena, and we go. And we're backstage, and we can hang out. And then one of this dude comes out of the darkness one night, and he goes, in the middle of the show, and he goes, hey, I want you to wait here. Make sure it's a guy named Tony, and he's very New Jersey. Hey, don't, Titus, listen, you're going to be right here, all right? Because what's going to happen is that the last song, we're going to come get you because Bruce wants to talk to you. And I'm like, Bruce who? Because there's no way that dude. And we go backstage, and it's weird because I screwed up even this. I hear what I'm a loser. There's only 3 couples backstage. It's myself, my girlfriend, 2 other couples, and I'm trying to be cool. And I look, and it's the Edge from U2 and his wife.
I was going
to
say, famous
were
the 2
Adam
couple?
And I lose my shit, man. Yeah. I'm like, and my inner retard's like, do not speak to the Edge. Back away from the Edge. It's dangerous near the Edge. And I walk right up to him, and I'm like, how's it going, Mr. The Edge? And I start going off. Okay, here's what an idiot I can be around famous people. I said, I love your stuff. You guys are devout without being overtly devout. I said, your music is incredible. When you did Vertigo, I didn't even know that was you guys. I thought, who's this new band? And I go, you great. And had I stopped right there, it would have been perfect. But
right.
I go, dude, I've bought so much of your stuff, I paid for that shirt. And my girlfriend looks at me and just takes a hard right and walks away from me. And the Edge, to his credit, looks at me and goes, great,
man. Thanks for my
and
shirt.
And just keeps staring at me. No, he just keeps staring at me. And my inner reach is like, okay, that's the look right before they call security. Get away from the Edge. And I screwed up to Jackson Brown.
I love Jackson. Aww. Jackson and Mike Binder are like best friends.
Oh, is he? Okay, I'll tell you what.
I've hung out with Jackson. And I have an Edge story for you. I had dinner next to Edge and Bono in Chicago.
Wow.
And my buddy and I, they purposely put us there because we're really popular at this restaurant we go to.
Right.
So they're like, oh, we know we could put you two with you two. And I go, okay.
Very nice.
All right. I go, great. I don't know if that's the smartest move. And I was like 6 drinks in at this point. It was me and my buddy Chucky. And I was just talking about tits so loud. Tits and fucking.
Oh, no.
Dick Cheney calls Bono during dinner.
Dick Cheney?
Yeah. And he answers the phone and he's like, hello, Vice President Cheney. How nice to speak to you, blah, blah, blah. How was your surgery? I guess you just had surgery or something. And I'm like, who gives a shit?
Cheney has more surgery than they do on House. Every week, Cheney seems to get a new organ.
So I was being like the biggest D-bag of all time. And it turns out they walked downstairs and they were like, oh, how was your meal? And Dijon comes up to see us and Dijon goes, they really liked you. Would you like to come backstage the next day? I'm drunk. They're like, they're going to get a limo. We're going to go to Milwaukee. Everyone from the restaurant. We're going to go. You guys want to go? They liked you. They liked me. I've been talking about tits out
were you
the window.
Talking to them?
Like, I'd look out the No. But I knew they were there, so I'd look out the window, and I'd be like, look at that broad with those huge fucking tits. Oh man,
what are you trying to get Bono to do?
I was just trying to piss him off because I was hammered. I was three sheets. I go, how great would it be to see Bono hate me? And then I'm like, no, I ain't going to fucking U2 concerts.
Oh,
and so we didn't go because I was in one of those drunk asshole moods,
those Chicago moods.
Yeah, where I'm better than you.
Who the fuck is this guy to invite me to this show? I don't need to go. Fuck, I don't fucking show. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I tell you what, with Springsteen, I got to meet him, and so Jackson Brown. Again,
Jackson's great.
Well, I have a story about Jackson Brown.
Yeah, when Jackson.
When I was 16 years old, my dad put 3-foot speakers on either side of my bed, and he did it in August. Yeah. I don't know why. I thought someone had taken my dad. He's bad, and he wired him to the front stereo in the house, and so that August, I just cranked up AC/DC and just the loudest music I could and blew out the windows. What I didn't realize is school started in September. What my dad had actually done is install a 2,000-watt alarm system in my bedroom that only he controlled because it was wired to the stereo in front of the house.
It's
so from
genius.
That. So from that day to the end of school, my dad busted my ass out of bed at 6:45 a.m. with that stereo cranked all the way to 11 and shot my ass to the ceiling to Jackson Brown's Running on Empty. So when I'm backstage at Springsteen, Jackson Brown is right there, and I get to tell Jackson Brown the Jackson Brown story. Yeah. And had I stopped there, it would have been cool, but I had to say one more stupid ass. I look at you.
You had to do the voice. What did you say?
I said, dude, your music and that album is like a soundtrack to my life.
My girlfriend just looks at me and walks away.
Right
there.
That's what I said, but I said it like really like.
Oh, you
like
were like creepy, like, yeah.
And my interview was like, why you got to be creepy to everybody? Jackson Brown, he's not cool. He's just such a normal dude.
Yep.
What I really got about celebrity being around a little bit of it is that they're just dudes.
Yep.
They're just dudes that got access to planes. That's it. And he goes, Jackson Brown looks at me and goes, he literally can't talk. He goes, man, I just wrote some songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all he said. Dude, man, I just wrote some songs.
I just moved here seven months ago.
I'm such a dude.
And I made friends with Mike Binder the first couple weeks I was here. And then a month or two later, we're at lunch. And he goes, oh, my buddy's coming by. And I go, who, Mike? Anyone, you know, whatever. And he goes, yeah, Jackson Brown. And I go, oh, wow. Fuck. Love Jackson Brown. Fuck. So he gets here. And Jackson comes with his girlfriend. They give me like a metal straw.
Did you talk about her tits?
No.
All right,
not
thank
this
God.
Time.
Thank God.
I've been sober at this point.
That's your default whenever someone really famous is around.
But
I'm scared of you.
His girlfriend doesn't believe in plastic, so she gives me this metal straw that I use to this day. You can wash it and just drink a little metal straw. And I'm like, Jackson Brown gave me a metal straw. It's like the highlight of my life. But I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, I really blow celebrity meetings all the time. Like, when I met Costner, I think I came off like a huge dick. When I met Bono and Edge, I was an asshole. So I'm like, all right, I got to be cool. So I just sit there. I don't say a word unless spoken to. I'm like going to be behaved, right? And I go outside for a smoke, and Jackson goes, Mike, I think Matt hates me a lot. He won't talk to me. He won't look at me. I'm like, and he doesn't tell me about this till like a day later. So I'm like, Jackson Brown thinks I hate his fucking
life. Wow.
Yeah. I can't.
He
just,
wishes
I
hate his
score. I just can't score. My only safe bet's having people on my show, and then when they spend 10 minutes with me after my show, they want out. They want out. They're like, "Oh, he's not very much different."
We don't. I like people that are loud and obnoxious. when you talk to Bono's guys from Ireland, man, they probably thought you were great. They were like, "It's like hanging in the pub. This guy's great."
Did. It was some classy Italian.
How do you blow
restaurant?
Off a U2 concert? You're a bigger douchebag than me. At least I went.
I can't say on the air what happened, but there was an R. Kelly concert, and before I worked for R. Kelly. Before I worked for...
I see that choice. That's a choice.
Before I worked for
one
Rob...
One of them's some new band. The other one's iconic.
I was Rob's assistant at one point. This is true.
Really?
Yes. I was R. Kelly's assistant for
really?
A time. Yes. And... I can't talk much about it. I will get sued very badly.
Okay. So, but R. Kelly, yes.
Yes, but there was a concert.
Yes.
And this was before I was repping him. And the owner of the restaurant comes to me, and he goes, "You want to go to an R. Kelly concert?" And I go, "No." And the owner goes, "Yeah, that's what I think too. Fuck that N-word. That's why I sit him in the dark end of the corner. Welcome to Chicago."
Wow. Wow.
That's why I sit him in the corner.
Wow.
So the white people that come into the nice, classy Italian restaurant don't see R. Kelly.
That's very brilliant.
Yeah. I go, that's great. I'm but glad I said no. What would you have said if I said yes? Yes, I want to go.
Don't you hate that when you're with somebody and, like, you're not racist, but you've been cool to them, and all of a sudden they become close enough to let their inner racism just fly, and you're like, and you're hanging out with them somewhere where you're kind of locked in a van with them or something, and you're like, oh, shit. I didn't realize I was with a neo-Nazi.
Right, now, I got to imagine that's what it's like being with, like, a closeted gay person, too. Like, they get close enough to you that they think maybe you're in, like, you're maybe gay, and they make the move. It's like that with race. They're like, all right, I'm going to be friends with this guy for a while. All right, I think he's into the black jokes. All right, all right. N-word.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like sitting there and you're like, what?
And then he starts talking about the revolution and saving the white race. And you're like, wow, this is a long
trip,
dude.
And do you think they go home and they're like, palm the face and they're like, oh, I blew it. Maybe I should have said N-word, but maybe I shouldn't have started drawing swastikas on that napkin. Fuck. I always blow it. Like they're Chris Farley going home.
Right.
Oh, man.
When I showed him who signed my Mein Kampf, I guess that was too far. Too far. Way too far.
Well, Chris, I don't want to keep you much longer. You've been great.
Dude, man, thank
you. I can talk to you all day. You're great.
You. By the way, if you go to the podcast,
ChristopherTitus.com
really good.
And TitusPodcast.com.
Did you really listen to my podcast, really?
Yes, I've heard your fucking podcast.
Oh, that's fucking kick ass.
He can atone for this. Attest for this.
You can atone for this. Yeah, it's a horrible show. You must atone for this show. It's horrible.
He can attest to
this. She's cleansing. I won't shut up.
I listen to all competition.
Oh, really?
I do. I listen to Marin. I listen to Corolla. And I don't even look at his competition.
Yeah, there's no competition.
I really do enjoy their shows. I just don't want to admit it.
Yeah, there's no.
Because they would never admit they even know I exist. Like, I think Jeff Abraham, your publicist, called Pat yesterday, and he goes, Chris doesn't know who Matthew Aaron is.
I don't listen to anybody.
right.
But I do so, now. I did the research. I got it now. I'm good.
So I go.
I looked at who you've had for guests, and I was like, fuck yeah, I'm doing that show.
All right. Well, I appreciate
that. Like, he's slumming with me.
I appreciate that. Yeah. But I'm sitting there, and I'm like, he doesn't know who I am. All right, that's fair. That's fair. I've been out here 7 months. That's fair. So I know Corolla's not listening to me and going, boy, that Matthew Aaron, what a fucking
show. Yeah,
that's great,
Adam, man. If I could only find that,
What a fucking show. So I kind of feel like a dork when I'm on my show going, I listen to Adam's show. It's so good.
Did you do radio before this?
No.
No, you just started this.
No, I did stand-up and improv, and I acted over at Piven Theater. I did plays, and I said I was doing stand-up. I did a one-man show in Chicago for like a year. It was an hour long. It did well. It did really well. I actually made money off it. But what ends up happening is I'm like, podcasting, I could do it from my mom's basement for free. I can get 50,000 listeners, how we have now. And that's 49,000 more people that will see my show tonight.
Wow.
If I'm lucky to get 1,000. So 49,500 more, you know?
Well, now you should go back to doing stand-up.
I'm thinking about it.
Because now you can make money with these people who listen to you on the podcast.
Yeah, I've been writing a lot. I'm trying to get some writing jobs. I'm trying to get some acting gigs. I went into Sharon Bialy's office recently for some stuff. She does Breaking Bad and some other things. I'm trying to get in on that route right now. And I'm thinking of doing more stand-up, but I'm really fucking swamped is the problem.
Well, the thing is, stand-up, don't do it then. If you stand-up, and everybody tells me, like, they asked me to do a seminar once about how to get your own TV show. You know, because you know, I just sat down one day and decided I'm getting a TV show, and we sat down and wrote it. And this one dude goes, I'm an actor in L.A., and I thought I would do stand-up to get some acting jobs. And I snapped on him. I go, quit. He goes, why? I go, don't ever do stand-up. If I ever see you on a stand-up stage, I will heckle you. And he's like, and I'm on stage at this seminar. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, see all these people here? See these guys sitting here that paid the $400
to whoever?
Yeah. These guys can't not do stand-up. Right. That's it. Tomorrow, they're going to be waiting in line with 50 fucking guys to do 3 minutes at 1 in the morning, and they're going to be stoked.
Yep.
For you to be trying to use it to some acting job, quit. Don't ever do it again. You're going to be shitty at it. You should quit right now.
And I wouldn't use it for acting jobs because I did it for 7 years and loved it. I mean, I would purposely choose the shittiest rooms to do it at, the toughest rooms to do it at. Like, on purpose. I'd put myself through that pain.
So you live your life in a metaphorical Reno.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a metaphorical Reno, right. And I purposely put myself through all that pain, and the nights that were good were great. But at this point, I'm like, okay, you're writing. We're trying to get the show set up at Sirius. We're hoping Sirius picks us up and that we could do the show maybe at a casino. Like, I just have all these other things I want to do. I don't want to do stand-up unless I can be the best at it, and I can't devote that time to it right now.
Right.
It's not that I don't think I'll never do it again, but I want to be able to devote 365 days a year to going to the club and doing stand-up.
How do you get this on? Are they going to do like a weekly podcast on Sirius, or is it going to be a daily thing?
We're talking about making it 4 to 5 times a week.
Nice.
Daily, yeah.
Good for you,
yeah,
man.
The only problem is, you know, some people want it in L.A., some people want it in Vegas, they want it in L.A., so the celebrities can come on and my friends can come on. But I think Vegas just, I just think there's stories there, man.
Hey, I have a question for
you
guys.
Yeah, bubba.
Talking to comedians, same with music. Like, I copyright my music. Do you ever worry about people stealing your jokes?
Happens all the time.
They do, right?
Titus can talk about this, I'm sure. Anyone steal your jokes, bro?
What happened? Well, there's two
and
things.
How do you claim it? Like, no, that's, I thought of that.
There's more of a mob mentality with comics. There's more of a old school leg breaking vibe. And even if you're into comedy, like, do you remember when South Park went after Carlos Mencia?
Yep, I was just going to bring that up.
Holy shit.
Mencia.
Like, when South Park does an episode about you being a thief, comedians will eventually, because comedy, here's the thing about it. Music's brilliant. Say, comedy, to elicit laughter from people, you have to actually get into their heads and their hearts a little bit to get them laugh. Same with music, move their hearts. But you have to get there. It's an intangible. I can't buy laughter. So there's something about it that when someone steals your shit, like if someone found out that I went down and beat the shit out of a guy who did 30 minutes of my material, most people would go, yeah, okay, that's great.
Good.
Right.
You know, and music, like, I remember I was just as mad, though. Weirdly enough, when Huey Lewis got ripped off by
Love Huey Lewis, Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr. ripped off. I remember being incensed. Yeah. Like,
fuck you,
what?
Ray.
That's exactly the same song. How do you deal with it? I mean, you know,
I was just gonna ask, do you copyright jokes and stuff? Does that happen?
Yeah,
I write a show.
I always try to write a show with a theme, so I always copyright them as a whole show. And but yeah, people steal jokes.
So I remember I worked at a bar. I don't want to say too many names, but I was a bartender at a venue that had a comedy show every Thursday night. And there was a host, I'm not going to say any names, and I actually knew him and I became friendly with him. And I heard his act so many times because I was a bartender. I'm like, oh, this again. Okay, whatever. And then I remember it was like at the Comedy Store or something, and they outed him because they were like, we caught you. They embarrassed him. They like found him. They called him out right on stage, and they were like, does this look familiar? And it was someone else's, this comedian who had died, you know, a couple of years before. It wasn't even like, okay, 30 years. Or, you know, like, if you're going to rip some, I mean, I'm not saying do it, right, but if you're going to do it, maybe go back more than 5 years. He ripped someone's complete act off, and they outed him at the Comedy Store.
Was it a Latino guy?
It could have been Mencia. But I remember it because I was like, oh my God, I knew him from Red Rock, or from where I was working. And like, you know, I was just, and then there was like this document that all these people were like, can't do that.
Yeah,
and I was just curious that it happened to you guys and how you copyright jokes.
No one stole anything from me.
I'll tell you what, if you're decent at comic.
Well, actually,
and
someone did steal one thing from me.
Yeah, and if you have any respect in the business, I'll get a phone call.
Yeah.
I would get a phone call.
Yeah.
First of all, I've gotten a couple of these phone calls. Hey, Titus, I work with this dude. He was doing the bit about this. I told him if he did it again, I was kicking his ass. And now I'm calling you to tell you. Here's his number. Here's the guy. So there's a weird internal policing.
Yeah.
No one else gives a crap, but comics really care because we all know how hard it is to write.
Yeah.
You know, to write a joke.
Yeah.
Especially,
no, it wasn't even a joke.
Especially one that works.
Act. Like, I even knew every. I was like, oh
yeah,
my
but the
God.
Worst thing is you write
a joke
that
borrowing
works
inspiration,
that
like,
someone steals.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to write a joke that works. Like
the great thing is Twitter now. Like, now when I come up with something really good, I instantly tweet it.
Yep. One can say it was theirs first.
I wrote a joke about Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is proof that David Bowie. She's proof that David Bowie and Carol Burnett. She's proof that David Bowie raped Carol Burnett when I wrote that. Lady Gaga's proof. When I do a special, I clear it. Lady Gaga's proof that David Bowie at one point raped Carol Burnett. That's a good joke. And I was like, I started laughing in the car and I just tweeted it because if anybody ever takes, that's a stealable joke.
Yeah.
Most of my stuff's about my family. If you steal some shit about my mom being in a mental institution,
sure,
you're way crazier than I can even imagine. you know, so my stuff's personal, but jokes are, yes, it's jokes are trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to, Melanie, can I read that? You got that? I want to read it exactly. This is great. Oh, okay. Let me see if I get this right. Correct me if I'm wrong. So someone supposedly left because they heard the porn actor Titus drop the F-bomb.
The porn actor?
Yes, you are a pornography actor.
Someone left. When did I drop the F-bomb?
Wait, right today?
Yeah.
The show?
Supposedly.
The porn actor Titus. Well, first of all.
What are you telling us?
I don't know.
Is that a compliment? Is that an insult? Where did what
did
porn
tweet
did
that?
They see you in? Yeah.
First of all, I don't think I dropped the F-bomb. And second of all, porn actor. Wow.
Yeah.
That someone's made a huge mistake, and we know. Wait, I love that the porn person who watched porn got offended. I love that the person that watched porn is like, that porn guy, what is he doing? He's swearing too? That's just too far.
That is really funny. That's really funny. How would he know you're a porn guy?
Yeah, right.
Do they think
you're
I do
good.
Like a porn show for
wow,
me? Like
that's
the porn
crazy.
Radio show? What are we were we talking about fucking or something at one
no.
point? I don't even remember any of this.
The porn
Who
actor.
Are
I think
these?
You might have said, I think you just said the word fuck, only because I remember, I meant to ask you, can we curse on here? And then you said
yes.
it. I was like, okay, we can curse.
It's a podcast.
One time, someone tweeted Binder. I love how I always point to the Coney Dog sign when I talk about Mike, like he's the Coney Dog God. Mike, I was. And but someone tweeted him once ago. We heard some bad words in your hot dog joint today, so we left. And he's like, oh, not again. Like, no, it happened.
Hey,
there are bad words.
I think, look, I will say it was in context.
There's never been
I
a person
rarely
on the
swear
show that didn't say
it was
fuck.
Something that, and I'd like to say my porn career, although I didn't know it had started, but now that it has started.
He's watching you.
Yeah.
Did she know his name was Titus? Oh, okay. You've been trying to hire her for years.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Someone handed out for you, bro.
That is extra crazy. That's,
so now
that might have been my ex-wife.
So just so our listeners understand, there was a woman that was in Coney Dog who complained to Diane, who runs Coney Dog, Mike's wife, that she was leaving because the porn actor, Titus here, the porn actor has been trying to hire her for years and drop the F-bomb. So was she leaving because she was mad they dropped the F-bomb? And wait,
or
if he's been trying to hire her for years.
Maybe that's why she's mad. I stopped.
She's
I stopped the interview
by
process.
By the F-word? You know, Fox isn't too far from being pornographic, but...
Porn? Wow, no one, I've been called a lot of things in my life. Porn star definitely not one.
Boy.
That was delusional. That guarantees what? She was delusional. By
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
calling me a porn star. Wow.
That's great.
Well, you know, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I like the crossover.
I want to actually go over your next couple dates. But
okay.
I'm going to go to your website.
New show, by the way. I try to, you know, Carlin, there's something about the, something with Carlin. I write a new show about every, about 16 months. I try to get a new hour and a half
That's
out.
That's great.
Well, Carlin, man, a buddy of mine, Neil Bobo, had lunch
Have you
with
done
him.
Kelly Carlin's show yet?
I have not.
You got to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
You'd love her. You'd love her.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys could talk about her dad for an hour. She'd
well,
love
you know,
it.
I was a big fan, but he actually, one of my first albums, I checked out of our local library when I was 12. Yeah. I was playing Toledo Window Box, and my dad comes, he goes, what the hell are you listening to? And I go, George Carlin? He goes, where the hell did you get a J.M. George Carlin album? And I go, the library let me check it out? And he goes, oh, okay. Because the library gave it to me, he was okay with it. So Carlin has, so Neil tells me he's having lunch with George Carlin. I'm like, oh my God, I got to hear about that. As much Carlin tells me, I go, what was the thing? He goes, it was brutal, man. I go, what do you mean? He goes, he sat across from me and just ripped on comics. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you comics today are a bunch of pussies. He goes, all you guys do is do the same act for 8 or 9 years, and you don't change your material. And he goes, I ran a new show of 18 months. You guys don't do your homework. You suck. And when Neil told me that, I was like, it hit me like an insight. Like, he's right. He's absolutely right. Oh, my God. And at that point, I'd been doing my act for 5 or 6 years, the act I was currently doing.
Same act?
And just switching. It was switching material. Yeah. And after that, I took the Forum, and then I decided to do – and then I wrote Norman Rockwell. And once Norman Rockwell got filmed, I wrote the next one and the next one. It's like –
it's great.
And he's right. You know, our job is supposed to – it's our job.
Yeah.
Our freaking job.
That was great. That's great, actually.
Yeah.
May 11th and the 12th, you're in Baltimore, Maryland at the Comedy Factory.
Yep.
June 21st to the 23rd, you're in Greenwood Village in Colorado at Comedy Works. Oh, is that in Denver or is that Greenwood Village? That's Greenwood
that's
Village.
Outside of Denver. Wendy, who runs those clubs,
these clubs,
holy crap.
Like, Comedy Works like, gets some huge acts, and they
do
well.
Clubs in the country.
I think you were in Burbank not too long ago.
I'll be at Flappers coming up in June, yeah.
Oh,
doing the new show.
I'm going to be gone during Flappers.
I would. Closer than Chicago.
Yeah. Well, it says he's not coming back to Schaumburg till October. And I'll be back here by then.
Wait, when are you going to be in Burbank?
You're going to be at the South Point Hotel and Casino in September.
There you go.
There you go. The South Point Hotel.
And my porn career, now that it's started, I will be doing. I'll be working a lot in Canoga Park for the next couple of months.
That's great. Canoga Park. Oh, I am so happy you did the show, Chris.
Thanks, man.
And I also, I hate doing this, but, I don't hate plugging the Titus Podcast, which is tituspodcast.com. The DVD box set, Get a Real Job, Numb Nuts, you can get at ChristopherTitus.com.
Yeah, and all the other discs, you want to get them singularly.
But I am even going to plug, you did Adam Carolla's CarCast.
Yeah.
Really cool. You gotta listen to it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, you know.
Look, people.
You know, the weird thing is, I think as performers, we gotta back each other up.
I know.
Can you imagine
the
network?
That's my mistress. All right, we are gonna get going. Devin Sawa on Thursday in West Chatham. I don't know West Chatham. Sure, whatever. And they got some movie, Billy Kid or something. And Titus. Christopher Titus, the great Christopher Titus. I think you can get Titus on DVD that was on Fox. I think it's on DVD.
Yeah, it's actually the weird part. They stopped making them a while back.
And you find it.
They're like $300 on Amazon now. It's crazy.
$300 bucks on Amazon?
Yeah.
All right. My fans aren't going to be buying
it. No. The weird thing is I gave all mine away. I had to go, for my kids, for like the archives, I had to go buy my own off Amazon.
Oh, my God. Because
I called the company and go, can I get, they go, we don't make those anymore.
We don't make those anymore. Yeah. That's great.
That's why I need a new show.
And then, of course, the TitusPodcast.com, ChristopherTitus.com. You can see him in Baltimore, Maryland this weekend. Thank you, Chris, so much.
Thanks, man. It was really a blessing.
You were great, man.
Funny dude. It's going to be all right.
I know it will be.
Not in Reno.
It has to be or else I'm going. I am going back to doing the show in my mom's basement, though, next month when I go home and visit. So, but that's where I'll be permanently if it doesn't go all right. So, I don't know. Thank you very much, Christopher Titus Hollis. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Hollis, plug your SoundCloud real quick.
Okay, yeah. Go to www.soundcloud.com and search Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S.
And I don't want to spoil anything because I know it's under wraps and stuff, but you're going to be hearing from Hollis. She's signed on with some very talented people.
Yeah. I'm really excited
about
that. Yeah.
I mean, if I name the bands that these people represent, you'd fucking... shit a brick.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And they can check out HollisRules.com.
I'm so proud of you, babe.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your support. It was such a great opportunity. Thank you for having me. Awesome meeting you.
And thank you to
Steve. By the way, next time, shut the fuck up. Jesus. I said it again. Uh-oh, the porn star went crazy again.
Yeah, the porn star went crazy. Oh, and here comes one of your co-stars.
Thanks, Matthew.
That was creepy.
That's terrible. Hey, sorry, guys. Oh, wow. Oh, there's way too many kids in here. We got to go. All right, bye.